much about.
Oh, hello. Do you want to be amazing? I hope so. Here's some tips to get you started. Don't do this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Next.
Yes, I'm looking for a French baguette.
We don't do French baguettes. We do hoagies. Do you want a hoagie bread?
Okay, fine. Just give me the least complicated sub, a ham sub.
Okay, that comes with a squirt.
What do you mean comes with a squirt?
We have the Italian squirt, the jalapeno squirt, the Parmesan oregano squirt, the roasted garlic squirt, the limited time yellow squirt, limited time seasonal pumpkin squirt, low-cal squirt, soy squirt, or our secret surprise squirt.
I'll try the limited time yellow squirt, please. Can I get a pound and a half of that?
And now.
You don't like your job? Boo-hoo, poor baby. You know some people work for a living.
Our feature presentation.
Well, you're actually right about that, ma'am. Thank you very much for putting it in perspective. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday morning, 23rd of March. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi, Bean.
I'm, you know, with Kevin out, at certain times of the show, I'm pretty much just a harem master.
Is that how you see it?
It's just me and all my bitches.
I just see it as you're one of us. Not really we're part of
really?
Your squad. Yeah, you're one
really?
Of us.
I see. I have a sense of ownership, though.
No, you shouldn't. Ever.
Really?
Yeah,
I feel
no.
More like an emperor.
No.
You
know,
just
a,
definitely
just a,
not.
A worker. Just like, uh-uh. A, like I'm on a mountain.
Not kinda. So much.
No, no, if you were on a mountain, down. you wouldn't be on there for long.
How dare you. What happened with your ducks there, little Chip?
You know, you don't want to clinch a playoff berth too early. You know, you don't want to be an overachiever. You
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, you can just you can wait another day. It's fine.
Oh, you just really? Need 1 point? Just one?
Because Allie made it sound like it's good to clinch early and then just relax and rest up a little bit before the
yeah.
playoffs rather than just be sweating it down to the last week.
Nah, it's fine. Perfectly fine.
Okay.
Perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. Well, that's what we that's our goal here on this program. Well, we do have a big show for you today. A lot of good things coming up, but I want to start with a story that made national news, although it's in my backyard here in Seattle, Washington. And a lot of people yesterday were, "Ha ha, was it Bean?" We were hearing that a lot yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Bean? We were hearing that a lot yesterday.
Was it Bean?
I just thought that might have been, you know, clear.
A good cue.
Yeah.
Did you think that? Okay.
I felt like it was. Yeah. And this is a story, Allie, maybe you saw it, about the man who climbed up into a tree in downtown Seattle.
Yep.
It's right there in the very busy shopping district right next to the Macy's. This is the tree that they, one of the trees around town that's, I don't know, it looks like it's 140 feet tall or something like that, but they decorate it for Christmas. So it's a very well-known tree. And this guy yesterday afternoon climbed up into the tree and refused to come down. Now, we don't know much about him. He's not been identified by name, but he apparently has been seen around the neighborhood. He's a homeless guy, or a guy who at least hangs out on the streets around the neighborhood, and he appears to be mentally agitated. That part of the story is not funny. What is funny is that he won't come down from the tree, and he's just up there ripping branches off the top of the tree. He's going lower and lower and lower into the tree as he rips more and more branches off of the tree. And throws them at the police and the other people that are below him. He throws oranges and orange peels at them. He's throwing apples at them. He took up a bunch of stuff, maybe to eat, but then decided to throw it instead. The police have tried many times to talk him down. They've gotten up on a crane up near where he is to have a conversation with him, but he will not negotiate with them. He's been up there for over 12 hours in a tree.
Ugh, that's exhausting.
It has to be exhausting. At one point, late last night, I understand that he made himself a fort up there. He managed to rip off enough branches that he could arrange them in some sort of a platform so that he could have something stable that he could maybe go to sleep on. So he's in it for the long haul.
Yeah, he is.
What do you think? I mean, there's no reasonable answer to what he's doing up there, right? We just have to assume he's just damaged.
Yeah,
bit,
I don't think
right?
he's protesting anything or
yeah.
there's no cause he wants to draw attention to. I think he's sadly just mentally ill, and that was what he wanted to do right then.
Now, here's my question for you guys.
Was it Bean?
Well done, Chip. Well done. My question for you guys is, you're Seattle police. What do you do? I kept thinking, is there a way that they could put a trampoline at the bottom and then trank him?
Like a bear?
like a bear? Yeah. Can you come in with a helicopter below and have a guy climb down on a rope and grab him and pull him up into the sky? Like, he can't stay there forever. It's a major intersection in downtown Seattle that has been closed for over 12 hours. What would you do to get this guy down?
Yeah, this is a no-win for the police because they try and get him down. He gets hurt. People are up in arms. Mm-hmm. You don't get him down, it becomes a spectacle. There's traffic. People are up in arms. So there's nothing they can do that's right.
Yeah, it's very – you're right. It's absolutely – it's very high profile, and they're under a spotlight. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there is a live camera feed on him. I'm looking at him right now, and I think he's scratching his butt or something. I don't know what he's doing now.
Excellent.
And by the way, speaking of his butt – I mean, we have questions.
Yeah.
He's been up there a long time. How's that going?
Well, he threw away all his roughage, so that's good. That's a start.
So let's think about this for a second. How would you get him down? What do you do if you have a man in a tree? Okay, you can't trank dart him like a bear because he will fall out and die probably. It's way too high up for a man to fall. Right?
Put the bear in the tree.
Put a bear in the tree?
Shit. That's something I never thought of. Because I'm not crazy.
So that will encourage him to just come down on his own if there's a bear in the tree?
Yeah, you want to share a tree with a bear.
What if all of a sudden it's like BJ McKay and his best friend Bear? That's an old reference. But then they become best friends and they're in it for the long haul.
Okay, now I'm out.
Okay. So now the police have a man and a bear in the tree. Well, look, there are lots of jobs I can't do. We talked about that at this time yesterday when I got that email with that very difficult assignment to do. There are lots of jobs, most jobs I can't do. If I'm the dude they come to and say, hey, Bean, how are you going to solve this one? Yeah. I got no answer. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what to do.
I feel like maybe they need to go up in multiple buckets, like on either side of him, kind of corner him up in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Then tranquilize him and then just lift him gingerly into the bucket.
So you're saying have two guys climb the tree at the same time? So
No. They'll be raised in the buckets.
Oh, in buckets.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just keep saying buckets.
I mean, I think it would be tough to grab him and be careful and be under him enough to know that he's not going to fall. I think that's obviously got to be the fear, is that whatever they do, they don't want this dude to fall out of the tree. So anyway, we'll keep you posted. I'll have my eyes on it. But who would have ever thought you go up there and 12 hours later, you're still there? You know, I'm sure they thought this was going to be a quick resolution. Like they're going to talk to the dude at some point. He'd get tired or bored and come down.
I feel like a lot's happening up there. You've got the ninja masturbator.
Right. I think he's still on the loose. Yeah.
Well, obviously.
Was it Bean?
Nope. Yep. That was not Bean.
Strangely, all happened when you were on vacation. This guy in the tree. I mean, you got to get out of there.
Maybe I do. So, good times, right? All right, let's talk about today's All New Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why is this a thing?
Well, we're just trying to do a... A listener yesterday asked if we could revisit some of our favorite audio highlights over the years of former Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. Unfortunately, he passed away yesterday of brain cancer, I think it was. And I had kind of forgotten until I went back over the tape how entertaining Rob Ford was. In the short time he was on the national spotlight, I forgot how much fun he was. So we are going to answer that request with a yes coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock. Also, last night was the People versus O.J. Simpson. Allie, what'd you think?
It was a good one. It may have been one of my favorites.
Making you fear jury duty more than ever before?
Yes. And if I'm ever asked to sequester, I'm going to pull the cuckoo card and go
that's
nuts.
That's a big MO.
Yeah.
You're going to take off your coat and shoes and just jump over the counter breakfast.
During the buffet. Absolutely.
If that's what you have to do. Also, DJ Omar Khan, behind the scenes here at the Kevin and Bean Show, has come to us for some family advice. He's got some drama in his house that he wants our help with, and you, the K-Rock listeners, so we'll talk to him about that. The Pitbull of Comedy was not on today because he was on a couple of days ago, but the Roastmaster General is.
Good memory, though.
That's our friend Jeffrey Ross. He's going to be joining us in the program. And our old friend Michael D. Catherwood.
Quitter.
Who is a quitter, who worked on our show for 5 years doing Chip's job. and then went off to fame and fortune on TV and radio. He's been the host of Loveline ever since, along with Dr. Drew, and he has announced he is leaving Loveline. And I have so many questions for him about that decision and what is next for the future of Loveline, which is, let's face it, it's an institution, that program.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to make sure it is cared for and protected.
And so nurtured.
And talk to Mike all about that, too. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat. That's going to get us started when we return right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. Wow. Nice.
Thanks.
Nice addition. Thank Remix. You. Speaking of musical instruments, Ralph, Alex
yes.
Hay did not know what a theremin was until 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, it's an obscure instrument. I can't really explain it.
I think it's fairly well known.
No, it isn't.
You don't think most people have heard of a theremin?
No, they may know the sound of one, but they don't know about the instrument.
I think you're just being kind.
No, I think you're sort of weirdly obsessed with a obscure electronic instrument.
Because it's the best instrument of all. Because it's the greatest instrument ever built.
Are you still playing? By now you must be very proficient, Dean. You must be a maestro by now.
I am not spending as much time playing my theremin as I should. I agree.
By that you mean exactly how much time a day do you spend practicing?
Well, I wouldn't say every day. I mean,
all right. Let's just over the past year, how many times have you practiced the theremin?
not frequently.
All right, but ever? Not frequently. How many times would you guess if you had just to make an estimate?
Well, just the past 12 months?
Yeah, let's just use the past year as an example.
I probably haven't touched it in the last 12 months.
Okay. I'm glad it's the greatest instrument ever.
You never
get out of the box.
I'm a little behind on my theremin lessons, that's all, but I'm just saying it's a great instrument. And I posted a video this morning of a cat playing a theremin, and I think it's essential viewing.
Wow.
And, right?
They really need to close the internet for some spring cleaning.
He actually said, Allie, I really think you'd enjoy the cat's face as he's playing it.
And
I said,
you would.
I don't like cats, A, so I won't enjoy it. And then I don't know what a theremin is, and I don't care.
And C, they don't make faces. They just
I
have
think
one
you really
face.
Enjoy the cat
just,
face.
The cat just has a cat face. That's
the
all
wonder,
it has.
The
doesn't
wonder
really change.
On the cat's face
There's
when he
no
realizes
wonder.
That
no
he's
wonder.
Making the music. Yes!
No wonder.
You watch that video and you get back to me.
I won't.
I am right.
And by the way, as an aside, in addition to, damn you to hell.
All right. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat now here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Speaking of people we'd like to damn to hell, turns out Justin Bieber doesn't like us just as much as we don't like him.
Huh.
I don't know if you saw his photo on Instagram last Monday, but he was here in L.A. playing a series of sold-out shows at the Staples Center. And he put up a post with a picture of the city and this caption. L.A. is so fake, they drain me until I'm dry.
Ugh.
Well, what does that mean?
It means we're fake, man, and he's for real. He's legit, yo.
Is he trying to say that when he comes into town, there are too many other celebrities that want to meet him or something, and that's why it's exhausting?
You're asking me to look inside the mind of Justin Bieber?
I'm trying to understand.
Here's what he said. Take it on face value. L.A. is so fake, they drain me until I'm dry.
All right.
He's calling our hometown fake.
Okay.
Douche.
So what's he mean by that, Ralph?
I don't know. Let's play the theremin and muse on it for a while. Word is he's moving to Spokane, by the way. Do you hear that?
Really?
No.
Land property in Spokane, yeah.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. That's where.
What the hell is he going to do in Spokane, Washington?
Wreak havoc?
Probably.
Not be drained.
Not be drained. Be filled.
Yeah.
They'll fill him in Spokane.
Yeah, someone's going to fill him up there.
That is bad news for people in Spokane. Can you imagine how much they are dreading that if it happens?
Well, it's about time the rest of the country start paying a price.
Yeah.
All these douchebag celebrities. Speaking of douchebag celebrities, Taylor Swift is in the news.
What's Tay Tay up to?
What's what she's not up to? The more I hear about Chloe Grace Moretz, the more I love her.
She is a darling little
She was
human.
One who called Kim Kardashian out when she was doing her BS selfie series on the internet, and everybody was talking about that, and she started talking about maybe women are more than just their bodies and more than being sexual, and then that's when Kim Kardashian came back and said, oh, welcome to Twitter, because nobody knows who you are.
Right.
And everybody said, well, yeah, many of us do.
Yeah.
Anyway, she revealed to Complex Magazine, she confirmed, rather, that, yes, indeed, Taylor Swift reached out to her to have her join her squad.
No.
Yes, but Chloe Grace Moretz turned her down, refused her invitation to join the squad, And then simply replied, she's a very talented person.
Aw, that was very
nice. That's like saying she's perfectly fine.
She is perfectly fine.
She's perfectly fine.
I didn't know that you actually invited people.
Oh, yes.
To be
oh, no. Part Taylor of the will recruit you for the squad.
Wow.
And then you get to show up and walk out on stage and strike a pose.
That's
do
insane.
The Vogue or whatever it is the kids are doing these days.
Bean.
Well, that's Chloe's loss then.
No, it is
she
not.
She had a lot of fun.
To her credit, she is an upstanding woman with morals and smarts and talent.
So she's missing out on a lot of fun parties. The squad seems to hang out a lot and go places and do things.
I get the sense Chloe's just fine.
Yeah, I don't think she cares about your parties, Bean.
No, they're not Bean's parties, trust me.
I want to be in the squad.
Oh. Well,
can you imagine?
He could get his pigtails out and put on a nice tube dress and just go out there and just have a ball.
Right?
Oh, God, that's creepy.
And it's sad news. The Von Trapp family singers are performing their final show on May 3rd at the Star Theater in Portland, Oregon. It'll be the final performance of the Von Trapp family singers, which, of course, are a singing group that goes all the way back to the 1930s, is when Captain and Maria Von Trapp started performing with their kids. And now this features the great-grandchildren of Captain Georg Von Trapp and Maria Von Trapp. Last show will be on May 3rd at the Star Theater. So if you're nearby, go say so long.
Nope.
Farewell.
Nope.
Adieu. A Wiedersehen to the Von Trapp singer.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you so much. Today's celebrity birthdays. The Cars singer, producer, guitarist, frontman, Rick Ocasek is 67 years old today. Is he still married to that impossibly hot Slovakian
Polina Parskova?
Yeah,
he sure is.
That's a heck of a marriage those two have had for some time now.
Right? Yeah. Why the long face?
See, because, Chip, Rick Ocasek has a long face.
But he's married to a supermodel, so he should be all happy.
I hate you.
Blur and Gorillaz singer Damon Albarn celebrates his 48th birthday. Actress Kerry Russell. We fell in love with her as Felicity, and now we hate her as a Russian spy.
Oh, she's so good on the Americans.
Commie Pinko.
She just loves her country. She's just doing what she can for her country, that's all.
We're all just people.
Right, we're all just people.
She's 40 years old today. And Ben Higgins!
It's raining, Ben!
Oh, yeah!
Hallelujah, it's raining, Ben!
Yeah!
Amen!
The Bachelor, Ben Higgins, celebrates his 28th birthday. What's the matter?
It's not raining, Ben, anymore!
Yeah, it's true. He's off the market. But we got JoJo to look forward to. We gotta think of a song for her. It's raining, JoJo. No, that doesn't quite work out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll roll out your top 10 finalists for the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, which is coming up on April the 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. Boy, we got a lot of entries, Allie. A lot of people doing the comedy in town.
So many entries that we had to sit through.
That we got to sit through.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yes, and we
joyfully sat through, and they were great.
We appreciate very much our listeners taking the time to apply, but we will roll out the top 10, and then you can help decide who is going to be opening the show on April 2nd. By the way, there are still some cheap seats available if you want to join us for the best night of comedy all year in Southern California. You can go to AXS.com to get your tickets. Jimmy Kimmel tweeted yesterday, condolences to the family and fans of Rob Ford, an unforgettable guy who loved his job and city like few men I've met. That was a surprising and very sweet tweet from Jimmy, because a lot of people didn't have a lot of positive things to say about Rob Ford, did they?
They didn't, but I also think Jimmy kind of put him on the map here in America just by having him on the show, and we kind of got to see a different side of him through Jimmy.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And I got the sense that when Jimmy had Rob Ford on for a whole hour one night on his late night show, I think it was not just let's have this guy to make fun of him, although there were a lot of laughs. I think Jimmy genuinely liked him, enjoyed him, and was genuinely concerned about him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a little bit of an intervention, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
He was like, are you going to be okay? I mean, because, we know James pretty well. He cares a lot about people. And I think that was a situation where he was afraid that, you know, he was going to end up, Rob Ford was going to end up like Chris Farley, the guy he was so often compared to because of how similar they looked to one another. Now, by all accounts, from what I understand, Allie, he died yesterday at 46 years old. Mm-hmm. But it didn't have anything to do with his lifestyle, his well-publicized bouts with alcohol and drugs. It was just cancer, right?
Yeah, I think diagnosed in 2014, and I didn't know it had gotten that bad. But
yeah, I was surprised too. I mean, 46 years old, and obviously he's a man also. That's very sad to see. He had a wife, he had children. It's very sad. After after his one term in office as the mayor of Toronto, he briefly did his own television show.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sun News and Ford Nation. I'm Mayor Rob Ford. You've heard the late night comedians. You've heard the critics. You've heard about the pundits. You've heard the criticism and the counselors. Now tonight, I want you to listen to me.
And he was very popular in Toronto with a lot of people. And I hate to say it, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of the cult of personality around Donald Trump. Whereas he was not a traditional politician, he was a councilman, but kind of an outsider in Toronto government. And he came along at a time where the people there were looking for a change. And he seemed like a breath of fresh air to a lot of people because he didn't talk like a politician and he partied. He wasn't afraid to get a load on. And I think people kind of related to that. Why are you laughing?
He wasn't afraid to get a load on.
Well, he wasn't.
He certainly wasn't.
So some things came up during the administration, like, I don't know, video of him doing crack cocaine, videos of him saying possibly racist and sexist things. And he was always, every time he would try to do business, he was always being asked about those. And he didn't always handle the press conferences in the best way.
Has the chief offered to show you the video personally?
You know what? I can't comment on the video that I haven't seen. You guys have asked me a question. You asked me a question back in May. And you can repeat that question.
All right. So he had been asked back in May if he'd ever used crack cocaine, and mm-hmm. he dodged the question. He mm-hmm. would not answer it. Now, this day, he's saying, all right, ask me again.
The question we asked you back in May?
You asked me a couple of questions. And what were those questions?
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
Exactly. Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine. No, do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have you?
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago.
By the way, that's a sentence you don't hear from very many politicians. Did I try crack cocaine? Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
Right.
I mean, I think that endeared him to a lot of people. Not that they wanted a drug addict running their city, but I think people thought, here's a guy who's admitting what he's done and what he's going through rather than just obfuscate it.
How drunk do you have to be, though, to be like, crack sounds like a good idea right now?
That's a great question.
I answered your question. You asked the question properly. I'll answer it.
How many
times? Yes, I've made mistakes. All I can do now is apologize and move on. I don't know what I... All I can say is I've made mistakes. And you guys kept referring to alcohol. There was a couple isolated incidents. There's been times when I've been in a drunken stupor. That's why I want to see the tape. I want everyone in the city to see this tape. I'd like to see this tape. I don't even recall there being a tape and a video, and I know that. So I want to see the state that I was in. But... that's exactly it. I don't know what else I can say.
Are you worried about what's on the...
So I wasn't lying. You didn't ask the correct questions. No, I'm not an addict. And no, I do not do drugs. I made mistakes in the past, and all I can do is apologize. But it is what it is, and I can't change the past.
All right, so we're talking about Rob Ford, who died yesterday at the age of 46, one-term Toronto mayor. And there's one other piece of tape that I want to play that I had kind of forgotten about until the listener emailed yesterday and said, hey, what about Rob Ford? You got to bring out your old tape. He called into a Toronto talk radio station mm-hmm. and gave a different name to the screener and called it. He's the mayor of Toronto.
Right.
He calls into a talk radio show, gives a different name so that he can defend the mayor of Toronto. That takes a lot of balls. And by the way, it won't surprise you that the mayor of Toronto had a fairly well-known voice that the host, of course, recognized.
No, I don't think he has to answer to any of that. He has personal problems. And by the way, if you think you can fire somebody because they have a personal problem with something like the substance abuse in a union or with a labor, you can't.
No,
you
but
can't
you.
Fire them. You know what?
But the mayor's not. The mayor's not in a union. Here's the thing. Nobody.
Wait a minute. You're not sitting
nobody.
Captain,
nobody's
a union in there.
Nobody's accused the mayor of breaking the law on this show or this station.
Wait a minute. Breaking the law. Okay.
Nobody's accused him of that.
Okay. First of all, let me get another one across to you. How do you know when you're being videotaped? Do you know? When do you? Okay. Sorry. What was your name?
This is Bill. Is this Rob Fort?
Bill.
How many times Hold on a second.
Last week.
Who am I talking to right now?
Ian.
How many times have you been videotaped in the last week?
The times that I've looked into the camera, once.
Oh, yeah, you look at the camera once. How do you know what you do exactly? There's cameras everywhere.
Oh, man.
Okay, so you're telling me that he goes around and videotapes himself smoking crack.
Rob, Mayor Ford, I know your voice. This is you, isn't it, Mayor Ford?
And away he went. He dropped the line there.
Oh, no, Ian.
So he was a one-of-a-kind guy, and I don't think we'll forget him. He was definitely something different in North American politics, wasn't he? Rob Ford, dead at 46. We'll be right back on K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. We got our friend Jeffrey Ross, the Roastmaster General himself, joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, Mike Catherwood, host of Loveline, is going to be on the program later on today. And DJ Omar Khan needs our help. Some family counseling at the Khan household coming up in about 20 minutes. Allie, you watch People vs. O.J. last night?
I did. I think it was my favorite.
How great is this show?
So good.
I told Courtney Vance yesterday, who plays Johnny Cochran so brilliantly on the show, I said, and I wasn't lying, I said, when this series was announced, I thought, ain't nobody got time for that. Who wants to live through the O.J. trial again?
Right.
I was so wrong because I didn't realize how great it was going to be.
Well, I didn't know if it was going to be kind of a parody almost, like they were just playing all these characters.
Yes, you wondered if it was going to be campy.
Yeah.
If it was going to be like the Saved by the Bell movie or something
right.
like that. Yeah, that was my fear as well. But they're playing it straight, and they got a great cast, and we love it every Tuesday night on FX. There's one man who isn't seeing the show because he's still behind bars for a completely unrelated crime in the Lovelock Correctional Institute in Nevada. We go to our good friend O.J. Simpson on the line. Hey, Juice, how are you?
Hey, greetings from Lovelock. How are you?
Hey, do you have to stand in line and wait to get a phone or something like that? I mean, is it tough to make a phone call or receive phone calls in prison?
It is. So, and I know you guys are going to be calling. Mm-hmm. I have to stake out this phone, and I have to fend people off with a spork.
Well, I guess you use what you got, right?
That's right. That's what they give me with, so that's what I use. I'm used to knives, but what are you going to do? I'm the juice.
You got to improvise, right? Well, last night's episode 8 of The People vs. O.J. Simpson was called A Jury in Jail, and they spent a lot of time talking about how miserable it was for your jurors, O.J., because the trial went on for months and months and months. They were in a hotel sequestered with no TV, with limited contact with their family members. They couldn't use the pool. They couldn't talk about anything. I think it was kind of like being in prison for them.
Now they know how I feel. That's what my life's like here at Lovelock. They won't let me use the pool.
Except it's like that for you for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So here's a clip from last night's episode. This is the Larry King Show, and he has Dominic Dunn on, and they're talking about this jury revolt.
Dominic, you've been there every day, and something's going on with the jury. What's going on?
Down at the courthouse, they're calling it the juror revolt. It's unprecedented in judicial history, Larry.
Could you believe, Juice, that Larry King is still alive?
I can't believe it, but I would like to end it.
Well, good thing that you're safely ensconced away from him. Were you aware of what was going on with all the turnover of the jury, with all the jurors who were being dismissed, the ones who were writing books, the ones who were fighting with each other, and the ones that were just cracking up?
Yeah, my staff, the lawyers that I was working with, they'd say, you know, the jury's not too happy. And I said, well, I'm not too happy either, but we all got to do what we got to do. And so I was angry that the people were angry. And I said, if I get out of here, I'm going to hunt some of them down.
Well, I don't think you need to be making threats.
I'm in prison. What can I do? Don't mind me.
I have forgotten what this next clip is. Let me play
some. All right. This should be good then. We'll all be surprised.
Let me play a bit of this and then we'll know here. Sorry.
After those gloves?
Okay, so here's Johnny Cochran.
He is it's about gloves.
All right. Johnny Cochran is toasting to the rest of the Dream Team because they can't believe they figured out a way in court to get you to try on those gloves that didn't fit. And they're so happy.
After those gloves, I looked in my sweet juror's eyes and I said, ooh, child, things are going to get easier. But now we're going for acquittal and it's all because of you, boss.
Yes. Oh, thanks, Johnny. Thank you. But you know, honestly, I can't believe they went for it. I mean, to make that mistake on the biggest case of their lives. Well, to our team.
To our team.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers.
Juice, why didn't your gloves fit your hands?
More importantly, how is John Travolta still working in entertainment?
You haven't even
that question.
You haven't even seen it, but just hearing that clip, you know how weird he is,
every
right?
Every week you guys call me up here and you say, oh, this show is so good, and I just hear nothing but crap coming out of these clips.
Well, John Travolta is maybe the outlier of the excellent cast of The People vs. O.J. Simpson. He's definitely playing it his way,
yeah,
that's for sure.
That's for sure, yeah.
All right, so the gloves. So they were your gloves, yet somehow you couldn't get them on. Were you bending your fingers?
They were not my gloves. The gloves did not fit.
Right, but they were yours.
Everybody has to go forward and acquit.
Acquit is what they said, right. But they found the receipts that Nicole had bought those gloves for you, and they were yours, but
maybe
somehow
they were Nicole's gloves.
Well, I don't. It sounds like you're still not willing
she
to admit that they
had some big-ass hands.
Did she now?
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, one of the most significant moments of the entire trial we got to see played out on last night's episode, and this is Marcia Clark doing the inquiry with Dennis Fung. He's the DNA expert who talked all about your blood being everywhere, and she just wants some clarification on how it was possible and if it could be anybody else.
Did this incredibly precise DNA matching show anyone else's blood and DNA at the scene of the murders?
It did. Just one individual.
And does this same DNA match the blood you found on the back gate at Bundy?
Yes, it does.
And does it match the blood you found inside Mr. Simpson's Bronco?
Yes, it's all from the same individual.
And does it match the DNA and the blood you found leading up to Mr. Simpson's house and on the sock at the foot of his bed?
Yes, it's all from the same individual's DNA profile.
Could it be anyone else's DNA?
That blood has a particular set of characteristics that could only occur approximately in 1 in 170 million individuals.
Is that one person who matches all that DNA in this courtroom today?
Yes, he is.
Could you please point him out for the jury?
And I don't have to tell you who they pointed to, Juice.
Cato Kaelin.
No, it was you.
What?
Yeah.
If it was me, I'd be in prison for murder.
You would think.
Well, you were acquitted. OJ, how did your blood get everywhere? How did Nicole's blood get everywhere? How did Ron's blood get everywhere if it were not you that committed the crime?
It was a particularly aggressive game of Twister.
Okay. That's not what happened, OJ.
It was... We played Pictionary.
Right.
With knives.
Oh, God.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What?
Am I allowed to ask about Batman v Superman?
Sure, you can ask. You can do anything. This is America. Why not, Bean?
You saw a screening last night.
I did.
How was it?
I'm not going to talk about it.
Why?
Because it's an embargo.
Oh, I didn't realize it was an embargo.
They asked us not to talk about it.
Why was I reading reviews from other reviewers on the internet yesterday then? And seeing letter grades and the whole thing.
Control what people do. They said, we ask you to reserve your reviews until the movie comes out on Friday. So that's what I plan to do.
Okay. So you didn't see it.
I did see it.
Oh, then how was it?
What? Did you have a stroke?
Am I missing the point? So, nothing. You're not going to tell us anything. Good? Bad? Thumbs up? Go well, see it?
Why don't you wait?
Pass? Play?
For
what?
Friday.
All right. I'll do that. 6:53, time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Speaking of Friday, Friday night at 10 p.m. on Melrose at the Improv Comedy Club, Kevin Smith and I are once again taking the stage to bring back Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We've been off for a couple weeks because Kevin's been off directing The Flash. But he is back in town, and we're back up on the stage Friday night, 10 p.m. Cannot wait to get back to Hollywood Babylon. Kevin will tell you all about his experience directing The Flash, which I love. And Kevin and I will reveal our spoiler-free reviews of Batman v Superman. to the best of our ability. And then we might have to do a separate podcast filled with spoilers. Because it's hard to talk about this movie and not spoil some stuff, you know? And so if you want to hear the spoiler-free one, you got that. Another option, if you want to hear the spoiled one, then you can go over there and see that.
Just tell us who wins.
Who wins? Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers wins. That's who wins. When that movie makes $300 million this weekend, they're going to be the big winners. Go to improv.com for your details and for your tickets. Love to see you come out and join us. There's too much television, right? I've
always
complained about this. There's entire networks I've never heard of and series that have been on for 5 years and I've never heard of the title before. It's just maddening.
Forget all the TV shows. I'm 10 things behind on Netflix and on Amazon. I mean, I can't even begin to carve into what's out there waiting for me.
Netflix is the reason I brought this all up, is because they have just announced season two of their original series, Scrotal Recall.
Yeah.
I never even knew there was a thing called Scrotal Recall.
I have seen that. I've seen an article here or there, but I don't know anything about it. Who's in this?
It's a British show, sitcom, about a 20-something dude who receives a troubling diagnosis of chlamydia and has to contact everyone he's ever slept with to tell them the news.
For chlamydia?
Yeah.
I didn't have to.
What? So he says it's the right thing to do, go back and talk to all his lovers and break the news to them.
Huh.
And so it's Scrotal Recall,
right.
See?
I like it.
Scrotal Recall.
I like it.
Anyway, it's been renewed for season two, so you can check that out.
Have you seen the Pee-wee movie yet?
I have not, no.
Not me either.
Trust me, I might as well just give up. There's no way I'm going to catch up now. It's just out of control.
Don't quit, Ralph.
Forget it.
Don't do it.
Forget it. I'm
TV's
done.
TV's there.
I've
for
seen
you.
All the television I've ever going to see. That's how I feel. I'm all full up.
Right.
I'm all full up on
Mm-mm.
TV.
Not me.
Cat Williams, comedian Cat Williams. Well, he's not really much of a comedian anymore, is he? He's more like a train wreck, like an internet train wreck.
Yeah. The only time you ever see his name is when it involves some sort of police action.
Well, Tuesday night, it happened once again. A video surfaced of Cat Williams. Punching a teenager.
Oh, jeez.
Kid looks to be about 15. Threw a punch at a 15-year-old. Then this 15-year-old just takes him down. Gets him to just a full Nelson, like, sleeper hold and just wrestles him to the ground. And Cat Williams screams for relief and taps out. And the kid gets up. And then it gets weird because then Cat Williams is looking around at the crowd of bystanders that have been watching this and starts to admonish them by asking, as a community, will you all let a broke N-word do that to a celebrity? He yells at them for allowing the kid to wrestle him to the ground because he's a celebrity.
That he punched. God.
That he threw the first punch at.
He's out of whack.
He is a mess.
He looks like he's just out of his head. Is in this video as well. You can find it online, but it's fascinating and disturbing and troubling.
He was very funny about 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was funny.
I mean, he was hot. He was hot, and it seemed like he was on his way to a pretty strong career.
It all melts down, man.
Right.
And we need not one, not two, but three movies based on Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs playing tennis?
I got this one. No.
Well, you're getting them.
Three movies?
Three movies in the works. All about the 1973 challenge when Bobby Riggs, retired tennis champion, claimed he could beat any female tennis star. And Billie Jean King, who was then the number two ranked tennis player in the world, she stepped up and they had a match, the Battle of the Sexes. Well, Emma Stone has just been cast to play Billie Jean King, and Steve Carell will play Bobby Riggs in this version. This is one of three, as I mentioned. HBO is going to do a version called Proof, which stars Elizabeth Banks as Billie Jean King and Paul Giamatti as Bobby Riggs.
Wow, both of those films have great casts.
And then there's another film called Matchmaker with Will Ferrell playing Bobby Riggs.
Bitchin'!
That's one I'm going to watch.
So, there's going to be a lot of this story.
They won't all get made, though. Someone
they are all getting out, right? Made.
So, Whoopi Goldberg is in an elevator on 9/11
no,
with
you're
Charlie
missing the
Sheen.
Point. You're missing the point. There really should be some sort of law. There should be some sort of Hollywood law where the person with the least amount of money invested in this idea and who is the least far along in the production has to back out.
Like someone calls dibs and they get it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just have to eat. Oh, damn, I wish I had that idea first. And then you just have to walk away and go do something else.
You can call it getting Ben Carson.
There you go. I like it. You'd be Carson.
Remember a few years ago when they had the dueling Truman Capote films?
It happens all the time. We had like three Snow White movies 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's maddening because so much good stuff is not being made. But we're going to get three Bobby Riggs movies from a thing that happened in 1973 that no one remembers or cares about.
Right.
Crazy times. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Rick Ocasek. From the Cars, he's 67 years old today. Blur and Gorillaz singer Damon Albarn celebrates his 48th birthday. Kerry Russell. Oh, little Felicity. Remember when Felicity cut her hair?
Oh, do I? Ruined my life.
Was it devastating for you, Alex?
It was so upsetting.
She's 40 years old today. And the Bachelor Ben Higgins is 28. I was bemoaning the fact that we'll no longer have It's Raining Ben.
It's Raining Ben. Oh.
Well, thanks to listener Zachary Smith, who wrote in, I was bemoaning the fact that we were going to lose that song. I said, there's no song for JoJo. JoJo's going to be the Bachelorette. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Zach writes in and says, can there be any other song for the Bachelorette season than Wake Me Up Before You JoJo? Right? He's absolutely right. I want to wake up with only JoJo. Come on.
It
writes itself.
Oh, so good.
Call me, Bachelorette. I'm available. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
21 Pilots on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. They are playing the Forum on July 23rd, but of course that is sold out. Man, they have become one of the biggest bands in the world in such a short amount of time, but they're terrific. Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, good morning.
Great to have you back on the Kevin Amin Show. By the way, if you're looking for a DJ for any kind of events coming up, whether it's a wedding or a party or whatever you want to do, DJ Omar Khan is your man. What's the website, O?
You could go to djomarkhan.com. You could check out all my pricing there and actually have event picks and all that good stuff. Or you could just email me directly at omar@kroq.com.
O does a great job, but that's not why he's in here today. He brought up something in the meeting yesterday that sounds like he needs a little bit of advice. You've got a family crisis going on.
I do. You know, I have two kids now. One's two and one's four. And I have an issue where I have taken my mom out of the picture. And I took her out of the picture when my first child was about one because she's a very negative person and she's done things, you know, throughout my life that you don't realize were terrible when they're happening because you don't know any better. Mm-hmm. As you get older, your perspective changes and you kind of realize like, wow, that was kind of cruel.
Right. So you were young enough and you just thought that's how it is.
Absolutely.
Having a mom and being a kid. And then it was only once you got older and got a little more life experience and saw how other people were raised that you thought, hey, wait a minute. She was kind of a dick.
Absolutely. And she continued to be a dick. And then that dickiness was spilling over to my life and my children's lives.
And affecting your relationship.
Exactly. And, you know, when your kids are young, you don't have time for that nonsense, so mm-hmm. I decided to cut her out of my life. I did not need it.
Wow.
Okay, now let me ask you about that. And by the way, that had to be, even though you knew it was the right thing to do, that had to hurt.
Oh, absolutely.
That had to feel terrible because she's your mom. And even if you've got problems, I mean, you love her and she's been in your life since you were born. How did you cut her out? To what extent was she cut out? Did you completely no contact at all?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I went and it was one of those things where I something happened and I had enough. I went over and we had a conversation. And she was in such denial being about certain things. She just would make up lies. And in her head, she's in the right. And it's just, you know, no, you shouldn't be yelling or talking to me this way because I'm your mom. There's right. like, you know, she's not in the wrong whatsoever.
That's the defense.
Yeah. So I had let, you know, I decided that day to let all that stuff go. The issues with me. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it's not about me. It's about my family. And where I'm at now is, do I want to be that guy that continues to not let my mom see her grandkids? Because she's older. She might pass away in the next 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. Or do I put our differences aside and, you know, reconcile and move on with taking that risk of her bringing that negativity back. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's a tough situation. Yeah. So in the last couple of years since you cut her out,
right.
have you had no contact with her at all?
No contact.
Not even via email or Facebook or anything
like
that?
The only thing is that she started a Facebook account about 3 months ago, mm-hmm. and I accepted her as a friend, and I had to unfollow her. Because all of her Facebook posts were like super sweet and nice and positive. And I'm like, this is not my mom. My mom's the most negative person on the planet. So I didn't unfriend her, but I unfollowed her.
Right. So she doesn't know that you don't see her
right,
stuff anymore.
Right. But yeah.
So has she never met your younger child?
She has never met she's met my first child. She's never
But she's
met
never met the 2-year-old, right?
Right, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
So she's got a grandkid that she's never even met
yeah.
because she's fallen out. And yeah. what's your wife's advice on this?
My wife, God bless her, she's the most understanding person in the world.
Well,
one of the big issues
to you,
yeah, exactly. One of the biggest issues was how my mom would treat my wife.
Yeah.
And I was kind of blinded by it, you know, and then she was right and she put up with a lot of crap and yeah. I saw that, you know, after my child was born, and that was one of the determining factors of cutting her out of my life, you
yeah.
know. I'm like, dude, my wife is a great person. Like you said, she puts up with my ass.
Yeah, I know you're my mom, but you can't treat my wife that way.
Right. Exactly.
Right. I totally understand
yeah,
it. Man,
yeah.
that is a tough situation. And even though you feel like, and I don't doubt that you made the right decision for your family, Omar, I bet that is something that weighs heavily on you.
Oh, I think about it almost every day. For sure. Oh. For sure.
What do you think, Allie? Is he making the right decision?
Do you
get to a point where you say, hey, I want my kids to have a grandmother and I don't want to deprive her of the opportunity to have grandchildren. Let's get back in there and figure out a way to iron this out.
You've got to do what you think is right for your children.
Yeah.
And only you and your wife know that. In my best case scenario for you, you try it with your mom. You set boundaries and you say, listen, I'm doing this for them.
Right.
I want them to have you in their life, and I want you to have them in your life. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about my wife. Let's make this right for this relationship.
Yeah,
and see if you can do it with some boundaries set up. And unfortunately, if she crosses those boundaries, then you know you gave it your all. Because
yeah.
to me, the regret of knowing that you didn't give it one more shot
yeah.
would kill me.
I think that's where we're at right now,
yeah.
for sure. So, but I would like to hear from the KROQ listeners if they've had any experiences with this, you know, whether good or bad, you know,
yeah.
to give us a call at 800-520-1067.
Wow, look at Omar being a DJ.
That was
I think you had those giving out phone number skills, though. That's nice. Yeah, if you've been in a situation where you have cut a family member out of your life, was it the right decision? How long did it last? Did you get to a point where you said, enough is enough, I'm going to try to re-engage with that person? And upon further reflection, should you have not done that? Should you have kept them out of your life?
Yeah.
Or were you able to get yourselves back together and get back on track with an understanding that was healthy for everybody? 1-800-520-1067. You can, as always, you can text the Kevin and Bean Show at the number 2-KROQ. Let's try Chris in Fullerton. He's on line 2. He'll be our first caller. It sounds like he had a situation with his mom as well. Chris, thanks for calling. What's going on, dude?
Hey guys. So this is the What's Good segment?
No, it's not.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I had a situation where my mom, which was the grandparents to my two little girls, she was recuperating with us after some serious illness, and she just totally was trying to poison any relationship with my dad and his wife, the other grandparents. And she couldn't let it go. And and we started having it out, and she started having things out in front of the kids. And so once she recuperated enough to get back to her own living situation, but I was still helping her, I had to threaten her with not seeing the grandkids at all if she wouldn't basically behave herself in front of the grandkids and not try to say things to them to poison relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard because it was like treating her like, you know, kind of like a divorce. Like, okay, it's visitation, but it was supervised visitation.
Right. Wow. And by the way, and this goes against everything in our being because this is
it's
our parent.
Mom.
This is your parent.
Yeah,
you're not used to giving your parent orders or to laying down the law with them.
And it was crushing because I'm also trying to preserve the positive memories that they have, you know, and the positive interactions they've had with her and try to, like, decrease their remembrance of the I mean, just venomous things that she was saying.
So is that where you're at right now? Is you're in the supervised visitation phase, and is it working okay?
She passed away. So, yeah, so it was like I really wanted to have her, you know, the memories of her be positive in my kids.
Because, how are things with your mom when she passed? Were you guys good again?
I was attempting, and I was there for her when she passed and trying to make her comfortable.
Right.
But I wish I could say yes. I don't know.
Okay. I'm glad you called, man. We really appreciate you sharing your story. Yeah, it's a tough situation. I mean, you're trying to make everybody happy, and you know, you got to look out for your own family. But then again, she's your own family. So you're kind of stuck in the middle, though.
It's tough, yeah.
All right, let's hear from you. You cut someone out of your life. Did you let them back in or not? How do you feel about the decision? How did it work out? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's right after this on K-Rock. The Roastmaster General, our friend, the great Jeff Ross, will be here at 8 o'clock this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, though, we're giving our friend DJ Omar Khan a little bit of help. The short version of the story is he cut his mom out of his life and his family's life a couple of years ago, and now he's wondering if that was a mistake, if he ought to give her another shot. So she was just bringing lots of negativity, saying unflattering things about your family, kind of getting in the way of how you're trying to raise your kids.
Absolutely. She's
all
doing, she would, what I would do, she does the exact opposite. You know what I mean? It's like almost cartoon-like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it didn't seem real.
Yeah, I'm like, what? And again, you don't realize this stuff until you yourself become an adult and have real responsibilities.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even when my wife and I got married, I still didn't see it because I was like, that's my mom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then when S gets real, you realize that, no, you can't just let that go, you know?
And by the way, I'm curious, has she, especially when the second baby came, was she like in touch with you saying, hey, let's get back, you know, let me back in?
Dude, my mom is a very cold person. Just never loving, never warm. I don't have one memory of my mom and I playing ever.
Oh, this is heartbreaking.
Yeah. So, but you know what? I probably, like, a lot of Latina moms are like that, I think. You know, they're just very cold, and children should be seen and not heard kind of deal. Yeah.
Well, now I'm sad.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Let's take some calls. To find out what happened with you if you cut a family member out of your life, was it a good idea? Did you try to reconcile, and how did it go? Let's start with Robert Reseda, please. He's up first. He's on line 8. We'll get through as many calls as we can. Maybe something that happened in your life, Robert, will help DJ Omar Khan proceed. Tell us your story, please.
So, yeah, I did the exact same thing. This happened exactly last year during Thanksgiving, and my mom, she's kind of like this person that wants everybody to see her like in a pedestal and that she's the top person. And so she had a big feud with my sister. And if I was in contact with my sister, all of a sudden I didn't love her. And, you know, so I told her, look, this Thanksgiving, I want everybody to be in the house and I don't want there to be any problem. And she threatened to not go. I said, okay. If you're not going to go, then that's going to be your fault, and you're the one that's going to lose out. So she ended up not going. She ended up feeling really bad. She ended up realizing that her ways and the way she was a big loss for her. And just like maybe last month, she called, and she's like, you know what, I think I realized that I made a mistake and
So you froze her out and that gave her time to realize what she was missing by the way she was behaving, and she kind of came around a little bit.
Yeah, and it was funny because even my wife was like, we were walking our dogs and she called me on Valentine's Day and she's like, you know, I have nothing to offer you as far as a gift on Valentine's Day. She's like, but I want to just tell you that if you guys are ever going to have a gathering together, I would like to be invited, and I won't cause like
that?
A big ruckus or anything.
So it worked. So it worked out. Things are better now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking to her again, and it's just like how Omar says. I mean, she's kind of older, so part of me kind of feared doing that because what if something was to happen and she died, and then all of a sudden I never like.
No, that's what Omar said is, you know, you don't want to have all these unresolved feelings and think that one day I'm going to sort it out and then not have that opportunity.
But I also think that when you set your terms, and especially when you know, like, when someone's doing something wrong in your family and they're just trying to manipulate you in a way so that, oh, yeah, you do what they want you to do so that they're satisfied with themselves, I think it's just best to set your terms. And if they love you, they'll realize they're wrong.
I think that's what we're coming to the conclusion of, is Omar's got to set some boundaries and try again. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Leanne. She's in Costa Mesa. She's on line one, and she is up next. Hi, Leanne. Thank you for hanging on. What's going on?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What happened? Is this a mom situation also?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my mom is really, well, she's just evil to me.
Welcome to be a lot of that going on, by the way, on the phones here today.
So sad.
What's up with mom? Why can no one get along with her mom anymore?
My mom is supposed to love me unconditionally, and it doesn't happen that way, and it's really disappointing, and I'm the opposite with my kids. I'm just like, that's unacceptable, you know? I kind of had to get away from her when I was a teenager so that I could properly raise my own children the way I know is the right way to do it, you know? And I don't fit into her perfect little box, therefore, you know, I'm not accepted to her. So
she's completely out of your life, and you are comfortable that that's the right decision.
Well, yeah, I mean, it got to the point where, you know, I really didn't have her around or invite her or choose to really see her unless my sister and her husband and my nieces and nephews were there. So it was more of like a bigger gathering where I could be kind of protected and hide from her in a way.
Right, gotcha, yeah.
Because if Limited I'm left doses. Alone with her, it's, yeah, if I'm left alone with her, she'll just kind of start little by little, and I can't do it anymore. It's just, it's negative for me. And I don't want it a part of my life, so
Thank you, Leanne. Appreciate the call. Moms are dicks is what we're learning here, right? Let's try one more. Let's make it Lacey in Pasadena, line four. She tried the reconciliation. Let's see how it went. Lacey, is this, again, are we talking moms here?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's really sad, but, you know, I have the same issue with my mom where I tried to reconcile with her, and she just, you know, couldn't do it. I tried to make things work, and it was totally just, it had to be on her terms, and her terms were so wacky, I just couldn't do it.
Are you,
I mean, you
at
can't,
peace?
You can't force people to be what you want them to be, right?
Right, but are you at peace that you gave it your all, and you gave it that one last shot?
You know what? It's my mom, and I'm never going to be at peace with knowing that we're not on talking terms, because that's my mom, and I'm a parent, and I would... God, it would kill me if my kid didn't want to talk to me. I would do anything and kind of be the one to where, hey, at your level, I want to be in your life. I'm your mom. But that's just not my mom. She wants to be able to say whatever she wants, when she wants, how she wants. And
that's so
no
interesting.
Repercussion.
And it sounds like you're describing Omar's mom here. Why doesn't it eat her up inside, Omar, that she's not in your life and your children's
That's
life?
A great question. I asked my in-laws, who are the best. I consider my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my parents. Mm-hmm. I asked them. They don't know. They say it would literally kill them inside.
Yeah. Yeah. If I would think most people. They would hate it.
So. I have no idea.
All right, Lacey, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate your story, too. Omar, good luck to you, my friend. I hope it works out.
Thanks, dude.
By the way, ex-ambassadors playing live on the Kevin and Bean Show Friday morning.
What?
Yes. I know. Love those guys. Jeffrey Ross joins us at 8 o'clock this morning. We also got the Showbiz Beat in minutes. First, though... a story that I know warmed your heart on the internet this week, Ellie.
Well, it broke it, then it warmed it.
Then it warmed it. Why do you love Pawpaw so much, the grandfather in Oklahoma?
Well, it was his granddaughter that posted on Twitter, and I saw Pawpaw trending, and I thought, Pawpaw, what happened to Pawpaw? Clicked on it, and it was a picture of this old man eating a burger. And it said, dinner with Papa tonight. He made 12 burgers for all 6 grandkids, and I'm the only one who showed love him with a crying face emoji. Oh, and it broke my heart. What is wrong with those other grandkids? Why didn't they show it? Papa made you burgers.
So this sad grandpa is sitting there with a big empty table with all this food and one of his 6 grandchildren.
Yes.
I wonder if he neglected to tell them that they were supposed to be coming over. Is it possible that it was just a misunderstanding? It wasn't just heartless grandkids who hate their pawpaw?
I don't think they hate him. I think that something probably came up. They didn't think about it. They didn't picture pawpaw sitting there eating his burger alone with just one grandkid. I'm telling you, the picture, killed me.
It's pretty sad.
In a way that I wasn't prepared for last Wednesday.
Well, the tweet from Oklahoma student Kelly Harmon received over 70,000 retweets within 24 hours. And there is a happy ending to the story. But we thought, why not bring the man himself onto the show? Pawpaw is here to join us on K-Rock. Hey, Pawpaw, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, well, we're doing good.
We're fine. I hope everything's okay with you and your family and your many grandkids and that you guys are all happy together.
Well, I tell you, this caught us by surprise. It sure did.
Mm-hmm. You had no idea that you had become this internet celebrity, right?
No, I'm not on the internet very much.
Right.
So when Kelly put that picture up, I was sure surprised by the amount of attention it got and all the outpouring the people gave it.
Yeah, they certainly did. People definitely rallied and they love you. And what do you suppose happened? What was the mishap that night that prevented so many of your grandkids from attending the dinner?
I think they're dicks.
Yeah, okay, well, me too, Papa.
That's possible, I guess.
There was no mishap. I let them all know. I said, Pawpaw's making dinner tonight. You come on by. I'm making burgers for everybody.
And everyone loves burgers.
Everybody loves burgers.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd do something nice for them. And then I'm sitting there waiting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, time passed and burgers getting cold.
Yeah. Right.
And Kelly came and she's the only one. So I'm glad at least somebody remembered old
Pawpaw. Oh, this is so
Papa.
Sad. So one of your other grandkids, Brock, you know little Brock, right, Papa?
He's
okay.
A dick.
He's not a dick. He actually says he's having a big cookout that everyone is invited. They're going to take over a flea market there in Purcell, California, and they're going to sell tickets for $25. All the money is going to go to you, and they're going to have T-shirts, and people can come and have a burger with Pawpaw.
First of all, it's Oklahoma, not California.
Did I say California? I'm sorry.
People going the wrong place.
That's right, Pawpaw.
And there'll be other people lonely.
That's crazy, Pawpaw.
I don't want that. No.
Okay. So you're going to have a big party with lots and lots of people who will all be happy to be there, and they
That'll
love you.
That'll be great, because I'm here at the house now and waiting for somebody to come by.
Oh, did they say they were going to come
by?
They
said they'd be here.
Oh, no. Well, maybe they're just saving up for the party. Maybe that's it. They're just waiting for that event that night.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see anybody's here. Hello? 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 Hello?
It sounds pretty empty in your house, Papa.
Anybody love Papa? Love Papa? Yeah, it's pretty empty, but
it sounds like it is.
The good news about all the internet attention is I'm getting some young poontang.
Oh,
well,
Papa.
That's not what this is about.
That makes up for everything.
Phoenix on K-Rock. Jeffrey Ross joins us just after 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What?
Ralph, I can just talk about Pawpaw.
Oh,
stop
yeah.
Imagining what Pawpaw's doing with all those young girls that are now following him on Pawpawgram or whatever.
Pawpaw seemed pretty pleased to be a little bit of a celebrity all of a sudden.
Yeah, a lot of attention from the young ladies.
So his house won't be empty for much longer,
right.
Sounds like. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. That means it's Ralph Garman time.
Hey, Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I finally take the stage again with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
It's been a couple weeks, and I've been jonesing to get up there and talk showbiz with my buddy Kevin Smith. 10 p.m. Friday night, Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com for your tickets. And we promise we are going to give our mostly spoiler-free reviews of Batman v Superman, because Kevin saw it this week and I got a chance to see it this week. So we will. A lot of people are saying, what'd you guys think? Well, you'll find out Friday.
Don't. Please stop. No.
Come on. Speaking of big events, Lollapalooza 2016.
Yep.
The lineup has been announced, happening July 28th through the 31st at Chicago's Grant Park. Since the whole thing does take place in Chicago, I thought we would bring in our Chicago correspondent, Johnny Chicago. He would come in here and give us the lineup for Lollapalooza 2016.
Oh, Johnny Chicago.
Johnny Chicago's coming by. Hey, Johnny Chicago, pleasure to see you. Always great to see you from the Windy City, one of our favorite towns.
Hey, guys, doing there? Because, Ralph, Alley, Chip, Bean, how you guys doing?
Because you're a native Chicagoan, we thought maybe you would do the lineup for Lollapalooza 2016, Johnny Chicago.
Sure, why not? Let's jump into it there. We got the lineup. The big ones here. We got Radiohead. LCD sound system and the Red Hot Chili Peppers are the big headliners.
Those are some big names, Johnny Chicago.
And then the lineup also includes, you got Lana Del Rey,
J. Cole,
Future Major
Lazer. What was that second one after Lana Del Rey?
J. Cole.
You're
saying Jackal.
No.
Oh, okay.
He's good, too. We got Disclosure, Haim, M83, Flume, Grimes, The Last Shadow Puppets. We got Kurt Vile and the Violators, Vince Staples, Waves, Danny Brown, Chairlift,
Mac
Miller.
Okay. We don't need them all. Vic Mensa. How about the Sunday night? What do you got for Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Let's look at the Sunday here. We got LCD Sound System.
You mentioned those already.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's see. ZHU. What the hell is that?
You got me, Johnny Chicago. I don't know. You're the expert.
Your announcement.
All right, we got... Hey, who's someone's calling here? Who's calling there?
Oh, you better go answer that, Johnny Chicago.
Third Eye Blind on Sunday, which is a big... The Antwoord.
Those guys are in the Chappie movie. I like that movie there.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. All right, Johnny Chicago. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, you guys. I'm going to go get a dog, a Chicago dog from the Shake Shack down there in West Hollywood. I'll see you guys later.
All right, go Bears.
Go Bears. Go Bulls. Go Sox. Go Cubs.
All right, thanks for all your input, Johnny Chicago.
Didn't realize... Muggs had those skills.
What are you talking about, Muggs? That's Johnny Chicago.
I'm in Johnny Chicago. It's been a long time. We had Johnny Chicago stop.
That's our special Chicago correspondent, Johnny Chicago.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Lord.
What? You people, you don't know. Oh, sad news. Sad news. Fife Dog is dead. Fife Dog.
You can just call him Fife.
If you're nasty. He was known as Fife Dog.
He was?
Yes.
It's a very sad story.
He was the MC of A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
I did not realize this, but he was Allie's favorite MC.
He was. I'm a huge Tribe Called Quest fan.
He underwent a kidney transplant in 2008 to deal with long time battle with diabetes. And
did you know it was this serious, Allie?
No, because he's been so active. He's a huge sports fan, has his own sports channel that he does. He's just been really busy with other things. I had no idea it had gotten this bad.
Hmm.
His health was bad. He blamed it on his addiction to sugar. It's really a sickness, he said.
We better talk to Johnny Chicago about that, because I think he's headed in the same direction.
Straight up drugs? It's like straight up drugs. I'm just addicted to sugar. And sadly, he's lost his battle with diabetes and... issues with the transplant. So
that's terrifying to think that a 45-year-old could die of diabetes because of too much sugar. That's really sobering.
Skippy, I saw a report this week saying that locally here in California, I believe it was either Los Angeles or the state, it may have just been Los Angeles County, 2/3 of the adult population are pre-diabetic for type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
2/3 of the entire population of adults.
Wow.
How is Kevin still alive? And I mean that sincerely.
Sounds like there's a little regret in your voice.
No, not at all. But I'm just saying, when we're talking about a basically sugar-based diet,
how is
that guy still alive?
He does take an enormous amount of sugar.
He really does. And he looks great. He looks healthy. His weight is good.
Seems fine. I just don't
know where it's all going.
Hey, forget Batman v Superman. What about Bunny v Bunny?
What's this about?
It's bunny on bunny crime here. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but two of Hef's ex-girlfriends are going at each other. Kendra Wilkinson, you know Kendra, of course.
Sure, yeah.
And Holly Madison.
Uh-oh.
We know them both.
Taking shots at each other. Well, they were part of the big three. There was three women that Hef was living with for a number of years there at the mansion. They were all, it was Hef and his three girlfriends.
Yeah.
The Girls Next Door. Remember that series on E?
Absolutely.
Oh, my, Kendra, you do have a terrific vagina.
Right? That was a quote from that. Well, Kendra is going off in a new interview, saying the worst thing about her time at the mansion was having to be fake friends for fame. I would think the worst thing would be that laugh. She said she and Holly Madison never liked each other, but they had to pretend to be friends for the Girl Next Door TV series and for other moments of media attention. She also said Holly is lying in her book, Down the Rabbit Hole. That's the name of her book.
Oh, dear.
When she took shots at Hugh Hefner saying how he used and abused their relationship, she said Hugh Hefner gave her the world, and now she's biting the hand that fed her. So no love lost there between Kendra and Holly.
Huh.
Right?
Well, I hope they make him do another reality show together.
Yeah, and fight.
Right?
That'd be awesome. Hey, I told you last week they're going to reboot The Tick.
Yes.
And I mentioned how disappointed I was that Patrick Warburton, although involved in the project, will not be reprising his role as the Big Blue.
That makes me sad as well. I'd love to see him do it again.
However, the good news is, Deadline is reporting that the...
And now, breaking news, Bulletin.
Thank you. The actor that they hired makes me very happy because he's one of my favorites, and I think he's brilliantly funny, and very few people know who he is on this side of the pond.
Johnny Asshole.
No, no, he's a British actor and comedian named Peter Serafinowicz.
The Riddler?
No, he's not the Riddler. No. He's Peter Serafinowicz, and if you don't know his work, he is very active in the UK, very funny. Very highly regarded. You can see his work online. He's got a bunch of short videos and stuff where he does amazing impressions, and he's just hilariously funny and super talented. He apparently has been tapped to play The Tick, so that's good news.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Peter has a series of videos where he spoofs...
Jesus.
Not Jesus, no. Acting classes. These master acting classes. And... He does one as Christopher Walken. He does one as Pacino.
Charlie Manson.
No, he does one as Kevin
Sister
Spacey.
Sister Sledge.
He does the best Kevin Spacey impression I've ever seen. If you have a chance to check these out, they're very funny. So, let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr. O.J. Jackson Jr. not playing The Tick. I think we've established that. In fact, who is playing The Tick? I've been talking about him for a while
now. Who was it?
Rhonda Ruffey.
No, it was Peter Serafinowicz.
Oh, what's he been in?
Today's celebrity birthdays... Car singer, guitarist, and producer Rick Ocasek is 67 years old.
He produced some of the best Weezer records, among other things that he's been involved in.
There you go. There's more Rick Ocasek news.
Well said.
Damon Albarn is 48. Are you still on the Scissorp bean?
No.
Are you?
Unfortunately, I do not have the Scissorp to blame.
Are you still doing codeine, cough syrup? What's up with you this week?
Out of the
gate, it was the wrong date on Monday. And then
I know.
In the wrong city with Pawpaw, and it's just rambling, incoherent statements.
Ralph, I was so bummed to miss Scissorp bean when I was out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you missed Scissorp bean.
Yeah.
Scissorp bean, he was great.
So what happened, Chip, was... At the start of the show, you know, I had pneumonia. I mean, I went to the doctor. They said, you got pneumonia. So they gave me cough syrup with codeine, which, by the way, daddy likey. And at the start of the show, I had been drinking the DayQuil during the show just to keep my cough down. At the start of the show, I said, well, I'm out of DayQuil, but I got some of that that cough syrup with codeine in it. And I took a big old swig. And I am telling you that show that Friday felt like
off
it was
the rails.
24 hours long. I mean, I was looking at the clock and it was like the second hand wasn't even moving. It was going so slowly.
Who could have imagined that Cody would make one feel out of it?
Do you remember
surprised.
Your reasoning for it? Why you took it?
I took it because I was at a DayQuil, right?
But
you actually said... Well, I've taken it at night before, and I don't know how fast I fall asleep. I just do, so I didn't know it would affect me.
I take it all the time at night before I go to bed, and I'm fine.
I may have misjudged the effect that codeine would have on me, but that show was a mess.
So what's the explanation for this week's series of shows so far?
I'm just losing my ability to speak.
All right. Kerry Russell's 40 years old, and The Bachelor himself, Ben Higgins, is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jeffrey Ross, I have to apologize to you right up top here, my friend.
Uh-oh.
I tweeted about your appearance today that you're going to be showing up on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I put up the picture that I guess I probably got from your Twitter feed of a picture of you on stage, Jeff Ross Live, Irvine, California, March 25th, 26th, because you're going to be appearing there this weekend.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I got all these tweets from people who are like, oh, my God, I thought that was an in memoriam post. They were convinced that you had died.
Oh. Wow.
And that, you know, just looking at it fast, they saw the date. They thought, oh, that's the date that Jeff Ross died.
I made the mistake of memeing at 3 a.m. in black and white with the dates on the bottom. And I was like, oh, okay. Now everything's okay.
So the same thing happened to you is everybody thought that somebody took over your Twitter because you'd passed and they were just letting your fans know, right?
Jeff Ross, roast in peace.
So it was terrifying, though, with all the people who thought
I'm
you got
right
it.
I'm right here, baby.
Jeff is fine.
Super alive.
Good morning, everywhere.
Super alive. Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night. Tickets available just $25 at improv.com or roastmastergeneral.com. So
Irvine.
How you been? You've been busy, right?
Yeah, man. I've been doing good. I've been on the road and telling jokes and This is when comedians ramp up in going into the political seasons.
Oh, no shortage for you, right?
Yeah.
You must, well, all comedians must love Donald Trump. But let me ask you this question, because we have this discussion all the time with Ralph, who does a great Trump. And that is, how do you parody something that's so goddamn crazy for reals?
You know, it's just one of those gifts that keeps on giving. Every day, it's funny. He won, what,
Arizona.
Arizona yesterday, and today he said he's going after Austria and Poland. Trump's on fire. I feel like if somebody was in a coma for 8 months and they woke up today and read the headlines of what's happening, they would think it was The Onion.
Yes, yes. Did you see yesterday, did you see his tweet to the man that he calls Lion Ted Cruz? You know, he always calls him Lion Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
About how, be careful, Ted, or I'm going to spill the beans on your wife. I mean, this is a guy who's running for president who's threatened to spill secrets about another candidate's wife.
It's like if Putin was on Real Housewives.
Yes. So you'll handle, I mean, you'll talk. That'll be part of the act.
We have
improv?
To. We have a guy running for president who glows in the dark. This is endless stuff for me to talk about. You know, say what you want about Barack Obama. He's really broken down barriers for people of color because Donald Trump is an orange American.
Right.
It's true.
You know, forget all of these debates that they keep making us sit through.
I thought that was Ron Burgundy, Anchorman 3. I didn't even know what I was watching.
They need to let you do a roast of all of the five candidates that are left. That would be the show America
needs
to see.
Wouldn't that be the greatest thing? I think to go to higher office, you should have to go through the gauntlet of being roasted by Americans.
Just to see how you respond.
To show that you're not above, criticism. To show that you're a man or woman of the people. Mm-hmm. And not a monarch like we broke away from in England way back when.
Supposedly,
I think we are on to something. I think that's a great idea.
Let freedom zing, I always say.
I also heard, and tell me this is true, that you wrote the movie that Robert De Niro is making headlines for because he did some stand-up this week in New York.
I co-wrote a movie called The Comedian that Robert De Niro is shooting right now.
What's the movie about, Jeff?
It's about a comedian who's older and has burned every bridge in show business, and he's just trying to get noticed again and get his life together, and he goes a little crazy. You could imagine that, being a comedian is a little nuts.
Yes, I can. And it sounds like there are a couple of names that come to mind that it sounds like may have inspired this idea. Was there a real life person that made you think this was a story to be told?
Well, I mean, when I was working on it, we made it, I guess he's a collection of a lot of the comedians I know, Buddy Hackett and Pat Cooper, and a little bit of me. And I remember a long time ago when we were working on it, Robert De Niro was trying to explain how he wanted the character to be. And he said, hey, Jeff, you know when you do the roast, you make fun of everybody there, you say really mean things, and then at the end you say something really sweet? This guy, he doesn't say the sweet part. So it's called The Comedian, and they're shooting it now.
Went up at the Comedy Cellar?
Yeah, he was at the Comedy Cellar. Actually, middle of the night, Chris Rock texted me and said, just stop by. Saw it all going down.
How'd he do?
He said this was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you're sitting at the Comedy Center, middle of the night, having a cocktail, and Robert De Niro comes up to try some stuff out, I mean, that's insane.
It's nuts. He has an amazing gift, his delivery as a stand. Robert De Niro, I'd spent some time with him when we were working on the project, the script. He actually has the mind of a comedian. He has a photographic memory. He can remember jokes and stuff. He was remembering comedians' acts from when he was a kid that he heard on the radio and stuff and was telling me about them. And he brings a lot of that up, and he loves comics, and he loves to laugh. So I think he's going to knock it out of the park with this role.
Was the Comedy Cellar closed, and you filled it with actors to play patrons, or did he do
this? No, they
brought
in real people and tried to make it look real. Yeah.
Wow. As a New Yorker yourself, Jeff.
Yeah.
What's it like hanging out with Robert De Niro? Can you believe it? Like you guys are like you're friends now. Is that hard for you? Is that a pinch yourself moment?
It is. It really is.
Because you must have loved him growing up, as we all did,
still
but
do.
Even more so, right?
Of course, I still do. I mean,
is King of Comedy one of the greatest movies ever made?
I love that movie because I really thought he showed the brain of an amateur open mic comedian.
Right.
And what I love about the project he's doing now is that he's not – in that movie, The King of Comedy, a classic movie, he plays a guy who's not funny, who has to basically kidnaps somebody to get noticed, to get on TV. And in the movie that he's doing now, the comedian, he plays a guy who is hilarious, but he's burned every bridge and can't get any work. So it's sort of a flip of a person.
Oh, that's fantastic.
A nice bookend, if you will, from his earlier work.
Well, that's the first thing I thought when I saw he was doing stand-up, is that I thought, you know, it made me think of King of Comedy, where he was trying to be a performer. You know
he
what I mean?
He can do anything. I mean,
he can do anything.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. So you are feeling good about this the way that you've been looking at the dailies and stuff?
No,
and it's
coming
together
nicely? I haven't been. Taylor Hackford's directing it in New York,
nice.
I've been doing other stuff here. I'll get back there next week. So,
have you made other movies that you've written, Jeff?
I've punched up movies before. I've been hired a lot as a ghostwriter and stuff, but you know, probably none that jump out at you.
Mm-hmm. But
you know, I like doing my own thing. It's hard for me to write other people's stuff. I like being me.
But this is so exciting, though.
Yeah, this is a whole new level of cool.
When do you think it's coming out?
I don't know. These guys work at their own pace,
right?
It's great filmmakers, great actors. So I don't know. This could be the best comedy movie ever.
Do you give Robert De Niro notes? And if so, what is wrong with you?
Mostly he gave me notes. It was an 8-month process that we did about 6 years ago.
Wow.
And he was very specific, and he really understands the character, and that then informs the story. I learned a lot about acting as I was trying to write for him.
Huh.
Yeah.
And that's why you were so impressive as the doorman on Grandfather?
Ah, you're funny. You're so funny.
You took everything De Niro taught you, and you turned it into that great 30 seconds of appearance on the show.
I played John Stamos' doorman in the show, and he's listening right now because he texted me. So it's funny you brought that up. Shout out to Grandfather. 30-second funniest show on Fox right now. I like the show. It's so funny.
I do, too. Look, that whole Tuesday Night Fox lineup, they got me. I think it's great 2 hours of comedy. That's a great
Stamos
show.
Stamos makes everything funny. And
yeah, we love John. Love him.
He's such a good actor. I felt like I was playing, you know, like tennis with a great tennis player. I got to riff with him and stuff. And
yeah, no, it was super
fun. He gave
me
the flu. He gave me the flu in the scene.
Oh, because you guys were making out?
He kept touching me. He kept touching my face like I was his doorman who was saying inappropriate things in his ear. And he eventually puts his hand over my face like 32 takes in a row. And then 3 days later, I go to my doctor. And I'm like, Doc, I think I got the flu somehow. And then he goes, oh, everyone's got the flu lately. Stamos was here yesterday. And I go, what? That guy gave me the flu. Grandfathered. Gave me the flu.
I would take the flu from Stamos.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to be so jealous right now, Allie, that he got the flu from Stamos.
I got it the hard way, though. You know.
We got to take a very quick break. Tickets are on sale right now through improv.com. Jeff Ross at the Irvine Improv. 4 big shows. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. More with our guests in a moment on K-Rock. Our friend Jeffrey Ross in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
He is the Roastmaster General, and he will be roasting you, the white people of Irvine, this weekend. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. Tickets on sale right now. Just $25 at improv.com.
Come see me. I'm guaranteed best wingman ever if you have a date this weekend.
Now, why are you a good wingman, Jeff? What do you mean by that?
I come from the Buddy Hackett School of nightclub comedians.
Jeez.
I don't do any buzzkill. You know, I'm not going to block you. I am going to talk about sex. I don't care if you're man, woman, what you're into. It's going to happen after my show.
You're going to get them worked up.
Humming. I got a sexy song I've been doing on my guitar that just brings the house down and makes every seat wet. I'm a Justin Bieber of comedy now.
Yeah, speaking of Justin Bieber.
Yes, your new best friend.
What is going on? You went to a show at the Staples Center.
There's
what,
no woman in America
ago?
In the last 3 months who hasn't said, speaking of Justin Bieber,
right.
Some sort of segue.
Right. Well, you went to the show, and you are now, you said it yourself, you are a believer.
I am.
You had a great time.
I had so much fun at this guy's show.
Really?
Yeah. I went to the Staples Center. I think he's there again tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's one of the things about roasting. You think, oh, you say, you know, people think you're mean or whatever. But it does come from love. And when I walked in there, I walked in with Pete Davidson, who was also on the Bieber roast with me. Mm-hmm. And we were greeted with warmth and love by the Bieber fans. And they put us right in the front there. And they get it. The believers get it that we were, we were saying the things we said to Justin because they had to be said at the time.
Mm-hmm. And you genuinely, you liked him at the time. When you did that rose, like you said, it was from love, and everybody had a good time, including Justin that night, right?
Well, you know, I didn't know a lot about him. I didn't know his songs. I was skeptical. I was like, oh, well, this will be funny. And as we started producing the roast, I got to know him, having shot promos, and he ran his, like, closing speech by me and stuff. So I got to know him, but I didn't care about him. And now once I did the roast and saw how well he took it and the fact that he volunteered to let us verbally assault him like that,
yeah,
and he came out of it, I think, a man, a better man. And he had the music, the album, to back it up.
Yeah.
He knew he had the goods, but he needed a little bit of a maybe a morale or a publicity boost, button.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that was the beginning of his image rehabilitation to show that he had a sense of humor about himself.
And when you have the skills to go with that, I mean, look where he's at now. This concert was so good. I saw Springsteen twice last week, and then I was like, you know what? I want to see another show. Bieber will never be able to, like, even make an impression on me. And then I left going, while I was there, me and Pete were dancing and laughing so much. And just seeing how hard he works. He'll be, like, playing guitar, singing a ballad in 1 second, then he's flipping around on a trampoline in the next while he's still singing. And a couple of his songs are pretty catchy. And
I was going to ask you about the music, because you could admire him as a talented performer, but there's no way that's the music Jeffrey Ross listens to. Like, when Love Somebody comes on the radio, Jeff, you don't listen to it.
I was at this concert, and when he played Love Somebody, I had such an emotional... I got my period for the first time. I'm finally who I'm supposed to be,
right?
Because of the Bieber concert.
And he does that song stripped down. He's just on a couch with the guitar singing that song.
Yeah,
right?
And we were right there, and he sang it right to me and Pete, and it was super cool.
Wow, you're a lady now.
Yeah,
you are a lady now.
I'm just a believer, that's all.
Roasting
brings people together.
That's what you've always said.
Huh. Yep.
How was 65-year-old Bruce Springsteen? He's still got it.
Is he that old?
He's got to be close. If he's not, he's got to be very close to that.
Here's the word. Unstoppable.
Really? Still?
I went twice. I couldn't believe it. And I saw him in Newark a month ago. This is a showman of the highest, highest quality.
Yeah.
His songs are great, but to bring such spirit and such a relevance to his music, even in 65. He was just fantastic.
He's 66, by the way.
66.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
He looks better than me. I had to stand for 4 hours. I was tired. This guy is...
And he's still playing those insanely long shows.
Yeah. He went on at 8:10 and got off at midnight Saturday.
Unreal.
And it was the closing act ever at the what he called...
Oh, the sports arena, right.
He called it the Dump the Jumps. And he went right to midnight, right to the end of whatever the curfew was with the unions.
That's amazing.
And he really puts on a spiritual performance. And Nils Lofgren, his guitar player, is a good pal of mine, and he does this amazing solo on Because the Night. And Max Weinberg just starts the show on 9 and ends on 10 4 hours later. And these guys... I wish him nothing but good health because they rocked the roof off that joint one last time.
No, they're impressive. And I think about guys like Springsteen, and I think about, I mean, Paul McCartney's even quite a few years older, and he's still out there, you know, 100 nights a year or something like that, putting on these marathon shows. What makes them, in your opinion, Jeff, want to do that at their age when they clearly have all the money in the world and they don't need to be doing that? Why are guys like that? Why is Mick Jagger still out there? Why is McCartney still out there? Why is Springsteen still out there?
It's easy, man. I know, because I've talked to some of these guys. It's the same reason guys go to play poker with. They want to get out of the house.
Oh, no!
They get out of the house.
But Springsteen,
you go crazy.
The they just love music.
I don't care
music.
How big your house is. Yes, they love music. They loved it when they were 12. That's why they are who they are. That doesn't change. What changes is they got to get out of the house.
But Springsteen's taking his wife with him. She's on stage with him. So that he's not getting out of the house to get away from her.
You know, they have separate dressing rooms.
Okay,
I've been back
there.
I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong. I'm just saying, like, you can't be all just cooped up with the missus.
Right. I
65,
got you.
You know, a lot of guys go on a cruise. They take the wife to Puerto Rico, whatever. Yeah. They got to get out of the house.
So he's going to be...
notice, she's on the opposite side of the stage.
There you go. There's some distance. So he's going to be B.B. King and play till the week he dies, right? He's going to go out in a... in a blaze of rock and roll.
He is going to be the last rock star standing, man. He worked so hard. It was just amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
He eats everybody else alive.
What a fun week, though, for you, going to see Bruce and then going to see Bieber.
I had so much fun, and now I get to do my own show. Now I want to bring people on stage and speed roast them. So if you're listening to this, I always put this call out on your show, guys. You have the listeners with a sense of humor. You have the disabled, the obese, the ugly.
Why are you looking at me?
No, I'm not, Allie. You're very beautiful. Because I'm hoping maybe you'll come one day and let me roast you on stage.
Jeff has definitely seen our crowd. He's describing it as if they're right in front of him.
Yeah, I can see it all right there, just every shape and size.
And they love it. People tweet you after your shows, like, thank you so much, you ruined me. It was the best night of my life.
Thank you for calling me the founder of Ugly Lives Matter.
Speaking of roasting, Jeff, yeah. I watched again about a month ago. It was on probably Comedy Central, your roast you did from prison, the Texas show, which, by the way, is so brilliant. And I wondered if any of those inmates made enough of an impact on you in the couple of days that you were there that you kept in touch with anybody.
Such an interesting question, Bean. You know, the answer is yes. Not that
I kept
in touch, but I'm getting messages now to my website and sometimes in life. It's interesting. You know, I was down at a maximum security jail in Texas and shot a roast of the inmates. And I was at Florida International University just recently. And I did my shows, like thousands of people, and I'm walking through the back. And this guy, like, basically pushes through security, jumps over a barrier. It's just a college kid wearing shorts and a baseball hat, just like every other college kid on that campus. You would never know anything different, and except for the teardrop tattoo. He gives me a hug. Jeff Ross. I'm like, what's up, dude? He's like, you're not going to believe this. I was in that crowd at the jail when you did the show.
Wow.
And now I'm a freshman at this school.
That's awesome.
He got all teary-eyed, and I got a little choked up, too. And I realized, you know, he laughed at himself that day, and he got his life together, and now here he is getting an education and hanging out with just college kids, and he just blended in. It makes you realize that these inmates, we shouldn't even call them inmates, people who are in jail, they get out, and they're our neighbors, and they're our community, so we have to respect them.
You know what I love about that story is that, and one of the things that was addressed in the special is the rate of recidivism, is that almost every one of those prisoners who gets out is going to end up back in jail. So if some of them can get out and not come back, that is heartwarming. That makes you feel good.
It really does, when people can change their lives. And you know, some jails, this jail we did in Texas is doing it right.
That sounds like it changed your life being there.
It did. It made me appreciate some of the freedoms that I had as a kid. I got in trouble, but I didn't have to deal with minimum drug sentencing laws. Like, there's people in jail right now for possession of less marijuana than I have in my lungs right now.
Did you – final question on this, Jeff, because we're almost out of time here.
Yes.
Was there – and I think I know the answer to you because you just do whatever is funny. But was there any part of you that found it difficult to make jokes about the white supremacists that were there with their Nazi tattoos and everything like that? I mean, nothing's off limits for you, but did that give you a weird feeling at all that that was your audience, you know, your background versus theirs?
You know, I hadn't even realized what I instinctively did. You know my comedy pretty well. I don't always just jump right to the Jewish thing. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about everything. You don't even know what I am unless I get a good look at me, I guess. But I'll go up and talk about, you know, the Pope and religion, and I just come from every angle. But when I was suddenly in a locked dormitory with these white supremacists with their Nazi swastikas, I immediately jumped out with the Jewish angle that I was Jewish. And, you know, I was, like, making jokes, you know, I think the joke I said. And you can see me sort of, like, hesitant in the footage, like, a little shaky in my voice. But I asked the guy how long he's in jail. He goes, 99 years. He's going to be in jail. I said, you should get 6 million, one for every Jew that died in the Holocaust.
Yes.
And I said, I'm Jewish. And Sarah Silverman, who's a good friend of mine, her dad is a really tight pal of mine, and he called me right away, and he said, I've never seen you jump the Jewish card like that. You really put it in that guy's face.
But I wonder if what was also happening in that moment is this is a guy who's a white supremacist who believes he hates Jews, but now he's kind of friendly with and enjoying the company of and laughing with a Jew. And I wonder if you helped a little bit change his mind on that topic.
That's nice to hear. I do think that because I left there with hugs and handshakes and smiles, and they were thanking me. And some of those guys probably never met a Jewish person who wasn't a lawyer, who wasn't trying to lock him up, who wasn't in the media, you know, as some stereotype. Like, I was a real human being who let him talk on his own behalf and, you know, maybe humanize him an inch more than we ever would know.
Well, it's a great special, you guys, and it does run from time to time. Is it on Comedy Central, Jeff? Is
it's
that
on Comedy Central's app. It's on iTunes. Jeff Ross Roast Criminals live from Brazos County Jail.
Yeah.
Love you for these questions, Bean. You're on fire today.
Well,
both of
I just
you. Allie,
we're fans. You know, we're fans and we love catching up with you. All right, Jeff Ross at the Irvine Improv. 4 shows, 2 Friday, 2 shows Saturday. Tickets available just $25. It's a bargain at twice the price. Improv.com or roastmastergeneral.com. Great to see you, sir. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Kevin and Bean Show.
Allie, are you a real person who's being paid to be on the radio?
Yeah.
Or just Jennifer?
I'm here. What?
Hey, K-Rock Countdown at Coachella is on 23 days until the big festival in the desert. We got another sold-out three-day pass for you and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Plus, you qualify to drive home in a brand-new 2016 Jeep Renegade. All this happening at 5 p.m. with our friend Ted Stryker. 5 o'clock this afternoon, win your Coachella tickets. Hey,
all
Ralph Garman.
Right. Coachella.
It's Coachella, right,
all
Rodney?
Right.
Yeah.
Love Coachella.
Got those tickets to give away.
Go-Go's are going to play.
I don't think the Go-Go's are actually on the bill this year.
Up next, the Monkees.
Well, we're probably playing the Monkees. That's true.
Let's get out of here, Rodney.
Damn. It's everywhere.
Speaking of tickets for things, how about passes to the premiere of The Boss?
Yay!
A brand new movie starring Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage. Good times. By all. In The Boss. You can check out more details about the film at thebossfilm.com. It's happening April the 8th is when the movie's in theaters everywhere, but you will get to go to the premiere of the movie The Boss, March 28th at the Regency Village Theater in Westwood. If you'd like to attend, you want to go to a big-time Hollywood premiere, here's your chance. Give me a call, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 lucky callers who get through at that phone number. We'll get a pair of passes to see the premiere of The Boss.
Not Melissa McCarthy, by the way. She's the real deal.
She's a star.
Amazing.
She's a star.
Love her
She's
so much.
A monster, monster movie star. And by all accounts, a very nice lady as well. Here's a nice dude. Finally, the day has arrived. We've all been waiting for. Trejo's Tacos.
Yes.
Is finally open. Today's the day.
Because he's a Mexican.
Right, not a Mexican.
I love Danny Trejo a lot.
We all do.
Okay.
And now he's got his own taco joint, Danny Trejo's Tacos, at 1048 South La Brea. Celebrates its opening today, so you can check it out and get yourself a taco at Trejo's Tacos. I bet Danny will be there. Say, hey, Danny, I want a taco.
I'll kill you.
He says that for no reason. Machete!
Machete.
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 He knows the score. He gets the women. And he kills the bad guys.
Machete.
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 He was given an offer he couldn't refuse.
Machete.
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 They called him Machete.
Machete.
Danny Trejo. Michelle Rodriguez, Sofia Vergara, Amber Heard, Lady Gaga, Antonio Banderas, Cuba Gooding Jr., Jessica Alba, con Demian Bichir, y Mel Gibson como el boss, y presentando a Carlos Esteve.
There you go.
There we go. That's how you say it. You can also get Danny's signature beer at Trejo Cerveza. Joint only holds 62 people, by the way, so if you want to go today, you might want to go early. Because I'm guessing it's going to fill up. A lot of people are waiting for this restaurant to open for some time now. So, there you go. All right?
All right.
We're good?
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Here's an interesting film that I don't know we need. Remember I was talking last hour about the 3 competing film versions we're going to get of the Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King, Battle of the Sexes tennis game from 1973?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do we need 3 of those?
No, nope. Absolutely not.
I would argue maybe we don't even need one of them.
There could be one that could be done well that might be worth existing, but we certainly don't need any more than that.
Yeah, Emma Stone and Steve Carell are going to play in one version. Paul Giamatti and Elizabeth Banks in another version. And then Will Ferrell, opposite question mark so far, in a third version. Now, they're telling us they're going to make a movie about Tanya Harding. Tanya Harding, you may or may not remember, was a ice skater who tried to eliminate her competition, Nancy Kerrigan, in January of 1994 by having her husband, Jeff Galluli, kneecap her with a lead pipe. That's some competition right there. Forget Batman v Superman. How about Harding v Kerrigan?
Why did he hit me in the knee? Why?
That was a crazy thing that happened for real. And it would make a movie, I think. I think there is enough there to make a movie. And she had a bizarre life. Didn't she make a sex tape after that?
Sure did.
Porn. She was living in a trailer. I don't know. She had all sorts of weird white trash things happen to her after the Olympics.
Yep.
I think there's enough there to make an interesting film.
Who would you cast as Tanya Harding?
Tara Reid.
Mm.
Tara Reid is good. I was thinking of Heather Morris from Glee.
Oh, another good name that came to mind.
And by the way,
Melissa Rauch, maybe from Big
Melissa Rauch.
Oh, actually, I'm changing mine.
Going on my
side
now? To the Riddler.
Yes. The Riddler.
Would you cast Margot Robbie as Tanya Harding?
Oh, she's a million times too hot to play Tanya Harding. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's who's playing Tanya
Harding.
Are you serious? No.
Yes.
No.
Very serious.
No.
Margot, you can say no to stuff.
Yes.
Unacceptable.
Yes. Smoking hot Margot Robbie is going to play dowdy, frumpy, white trash Tanya Harding.
Maybe. This will be like a Charlize Theron monster situation.
Uglier up and winner an Oscar?
Absolutely.
Good luck uglying up Margot Robbie, by the way.
It's going to take a lot of makeup to get her to Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I wonder what Tanya Harding is doing now.
I hope she's not listening.
Me too. That'd be embarrassing.
That's sad.
All the bad things we just said about her.
Hi, Tanya.
Friday night, Kevin Smith, me. Hollywood Babylon, it's happening again. We've taken a few weeks off, but now we're doing it again, live, on stage at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. Come on out and join us Friday night, 10 p.m. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
And my answer is no.
Oh, I keep hoping that guy's going to say yes every time.
It sounds incredibly not fun.
It's so fun.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Cars singer, producer, guitarist Rick Ocasek, 76 years old today. He's also produced other people's records, too, we found out this morning.
Like Weezer, I hear.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of other people. He's a Boston man, isn't he, Allie?
I believe he is.
Rick Ocasek?
Yeah.
Ah, damn it. I used to like him. Maybe Boston Johnny can come in here and tell us about some other celebrities.
I would love to hear from Boston Johnny.
Blur. And Gorillaz singer Damon Albarn is 48 years old today. Kerry Russell turns 40. And Bachelor Ben Higgins, our buddy Ben, is 28 years old today. Well, he's not our buddy. He's sort of my buddy because we sort of hung out that one time.
You guys exchange phone numbers when you were on The Bachelor?
Not per se.
Live? No.
No. Fluids, but not numbers.
Okay.
He's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about Panic at the Disco right there on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. They are going to be playing the Irvine Meadows on August the 6th, one of the final shows at that venue before they tear it down. That is a great song that is called Victorious.
Woo!
Hey, Michael D. Catherwood, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
It's great to see you. I'm always so impressed whenever you make your way into the Kevin and Bean Show because you just got off the air on K-Rock at midnight for Loveline.
Yeah, I mean,
quick turnaround.
I was actually thinking about that waking up this morning, oh man, I got to go do morning radio. But it was late in the morning for me considering I used to wake up to be on this show as a member of the show. Mm-hmm. And still doing Loveline.
Yes. How long did you do both, where you were doing Kevin and Bean in the morning and Loveline late at night?
Like 2.5 years.
Oh, man.
That's an unbelievable schedule.
Yeah. It was weak.
It was poor planning. And eventually you got to the point where you said, screw Kevin and Bean. I never liked those guys anyway. I can start sleeping in.
What happened was I took such an extended break to not dance well on Dancing with the Stars, that it just naturally kind of happened.
Going back.
I gained like 15 pounds in 2 weeks from actually getting sleep. It was amazing. You don't realize how much that ravages your body until you stop doing it.
Yeah. Sleep's good, isn't it?
Sleep rips.
Let's just all stop for a moment and think about how awesome sleep is.
Sleep rips.
It is the best. All right. So how long have you been co-hosting Loveline with Dr. Drew?
Almost exactly 6 years.
It's a dream job.
Yeah. If you're a radio broadcaster, that's right up there.
I have often said it's the best job in radio because it's 10 hours a week with very little show prep involved. And it's fun. And every night is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're heard all over. And you work with Dr. Drew, who's awesome.
Dr. Drew's the best. I can't think of another show that has that much variety to it. I mean, I really don't know what's going to happen or what people are going to call about. Most nights that you go in there, you get like a certain amount of like abuse calls, a certain amount of addiction calls. And then outside of that, you never know what the wild cards are going to be. So that's always exciting.
Have you found yourself, Mike, as a result of listening to thousands of phone callers with problems over the years, developing more empathy for people and their situation or less to the point where you're hardened by it, you've heard every story and you just think people are crazy now?
Definitely more empathy. I think that someone who has the qualifications and the training to deal with that kind of stuff, like a Drew or a therapist or a psychiatrist, that becomes your business, and you almost have to be calculated and divorce yourself from the personal stuff. But for me, it tears me up inside because it becomes the point where it's not like, oh, there's a lot of people out there who need help. Oh, it's so sad. You realize it's an epidemic. Like pretty much everyone has had their life affected in some way, either directly or indirectly by profound sexual or physical abuse, you know, and like that's the reality of it.
Yeah. That's a downer.
Yeah.
That's it. And were there times where you felt, I am the wrong person for you to be asking this question? I am supremely unqualified to be helping others when I'm so screwed up myself.
Yeah. At first, I just really wrestled with the fact that I'm supremely unqualified. But then I came to the conclusion that, well, if you have Drew there who's very qualified, at least you have someone there who has been so ravaged by abuse in so many ways that can at least relate to you be empathic to someone who is a drug addict or is terrible in bed and has been rejected in every way and also succeeded in every way. It's like I've really run the gamut with my romantic experiences.
But at least you got a tiny penis.
Yeah, there's that.
At least you got that. All right, so you recently announced a week ago that you've decided to leave the Loveline show.
Yes.
How did you come to that conclusion, and how much of a struggle was it to draw that conclusion?
I came to the conclusion because I was gradually getting to the point where my schedule just wasn't making it feasible anymore. It was really taking its toll on not only me physically and emotionally. It was affecting my family, you know, that I would be up late at night and not have the ability to consistently get up to wake up with my daughter and forcing my wife to do that.
How old's Magnolia now?
She'll be 2 in April.
All right. So you want to be around more for that.
Yeah. And forcing my wife to do that every single morning, it's not fair because she has her own career and stuff. And so that was a big factor. And then also I've been lucky enough to have other things develop, you know, professionally that are just, it's not making it really practical anymore. So
anything else you're allowed to talk about?
I don't know, so I'm going to err on the side of safety and say no. But
so just there's so many hours in the day, and something had to give. So it's not that you had some conflict from 10 to midnight every night. It's just that you now need that time either at home or sleeping.
Yeah, and you know, I'd get off the afternoon radio show that I do, and then go do some other TV stuff till, you know, 5, 6, 7 at night. And then
Drew won't do a show on HLN without forcing you to be on it. So you're there almost every night.
And then I drive back, you know, from Hollywood to Venice, and it's 8:30. And then instead of winding down, I got to start drinking coffee again to go do another radio show.
Oh,
and
it
just that, as much as Loveline, like you said, is a dream job, it just became, like I said, impractical. So
I forgot you were still doing the KABC show. Now, nobody's listening to that, right? Why don't you give that up instead and keep the Loveline?
For scheduling reasons and contractual reasons.
Oh, I
you know,
see.
It was,
I got you.
It's a little more ironclad.
So who knew about it before you announced it on the air last week?
Drew.
Okay, good.
My adults that handle business stuff, you know, the crazy managers.
Did Mr. Weatherby know? Did you tell him?
Apparently, no, but...
He's our boss, everybody.
Yeah, apparently no, but we called the Mr. Weatherby Jr., Mr. Sandbling, as we'll call him on the...
Mr. Sandbling, all right.
And like 10 days before I announced it, and he's like, okay, yeah, yeah, I'll talk to Kevin and we'll take care of that. And apparently that never happened.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so it was a bad surprise.
Yeah, and... I get word back that, Mr. Weatherby was upset that that was how he had to find out. And I was like, wait a second. And by the way, there was no call back to me or my people when that announcement was made to Mr. Sandbling. So I just figured they're pretty cool with me doing that. Yeah.
Mike, there have been a lot of co-hosts with Dr. Drew of Loveline over the years. Obviously, Stryker and Carolla and mm-hmm. back in the early days, Poor Man. So there's been a lot of people who have held that chair. What are the plans for Loveline going forward when you leave at the end of the month?
I know Drew's going to continue. He's going to do it. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's going to fill that seat.
Do they have anyone in mind, or is there going to be some sort of casting call, or what do you think?
That's handled by people, you know, above me in the Loveline ladder as far as, you know, the programming of it. I made very sure before I announced this decision that Loveline would not go away if I go away.
Right.
And a lot of people assured me that would be the case.
But you're not important.
Right, yeah. Okay. You were the weakest link of Loveline, let's all be honest.
Oh,
here, so
yeah.
Loveline's
far.
Fine.
Not even a close competition. So I think that there's going to be, you know, an opening for someone who is ambitious and qualified.
Right. All right. So we don't – there for people listening who want to host Loveline, we don't have a way for that to happen yet. It's not a casting call yet. It's
no,
probably
– no.
Okay.
Now, I wish it could be. Because I would
listen
love
to that all
I would
my
love
long.
To nominate some people.
And... Well, if you don't give it to Beer Mug, you're missing out. I'm telling you that.
Hey, I'm a big Beer Mug fan. I would love for that to happen. Or Chicago Johnny or whatever.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. He's real good.
You're going to love having the time at home and having a little better schedule, but you're really going to miss that show, I think, Mike.
Yeah, and I never knew how much. I mean, obviously I had a baseline level of understanding that it was going to be hard for me to let it go from a sentimental standpoint, but now, like, the listeners and the things that they tweet me and write me, it's just been so difficult to kind of come to grips with that I won't be doing that anymore. And I'm sure as the end of the month comes closer, it's going to get even worse. But I'm not moving to New York or anything to do some big gig that I can't fill in. And they've already plugged me into to co-host a week because Drew is going to be off doing 9,000 TV shows from his private plane. So it's, I mean, I'll be around. I'll be
so you're leaving, but you're coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, I want you to stick around, Mike, because I want to talk about, among other things, one of the great Loveline guests of all time, Insane Clown Posse, was there last night.
The greatest Loveline guest of all time.
I want to talk about that and so much more with our guest, Mike Catherwood, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Mike Catherwood in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the soon-to-be ex-host of Love Flying. Mike, what's happening? What are you doing right now?
Huh?
What do you have on your head?
This terrible mask.
Take it off.
Dave says is the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible. Stop that. Stop that. Pay attention. Be professional, Mike. Come on. This is our show, not yours.
Sorry.
Mike is going to be leaving Loveline at the end of the month. I want to talk about some of the great things that you've had happen on the show based on phenomenal guests. Loveline has had so many great guests over the years, not the least of which, and thank God you were still working for the return of Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope, because Insane Clown Posse was there last night.
It was awesome.
Tell me about those guys.
They're everything you could ever dream of like regular dudes having a massive... massive career and following. You know, it's unbelievable. They were so ahead of the game because they were their own label, their own producers, their own everything, well before like the music industry as we knew it traditionally fell apart. Mm-hmm. So it's just crazy to see people that most everyone I know has never listened to a song of theirs, yet they can get Coachella like support at the following of the Juggalos. This will be the 17th following of the Juggalos. 17th. And they get...
unreal.
Like, most... Coachella has a hard time selling out for 3 days. They get people to show up for 3 days. Hundreds of thousands of people. Like,
traveling from all over the world.
Yes!
Insane.
And so... and also...
Are they smart or are they lucky?
they're smart. I mean, not in a IQ way. I mean, they're not like educated dudes, but they're definitely savvy. They're not dumb people by any means.
Did they create these characters to fill a need that didn't exist in rap music? Is that what they did? Is they found a way to appeal to something that was missing for a certain kind of fan?
Yeah, I think that there's a relatability to them. If you're like the kid, the like definitely like the white, struggling, disenfranchised, ridiculed, rejected white kid growing up, there's these personas that other guys, they're just like their fans. They were saying it over and over again. That they're not, their fans are not their fans, and they're not performers. They're family. They're all one unit of like the people who get passed over by society, and they can put on this clown music and rap about these fantastic ideas of like taking the power back and being empowered by being these white trash kind of characters.
And how do magnets work?
Magnets everywhere in this bitch. Listening to Dr. Drew try to explain to them scientifically how magnets work. I mean, you can't get better than that. You can't get better than that.
And it's so interesting what you just said, Mike, is because these people oftentimes are pariahs in their own hometown.
Sure.
They've got a very small group of people that they hang out with, and the greater society has got no time for them. They don't want to have anything to do with them. They don't want to hire them. They don't want to date them. They don't want to spend time with them. But then they go to the gathering, and they've got all the friends in the world.
It's everybody there is Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. You know, for that, for those 3 days or however it lasts. And that's legitimate. You're on cloud nine. For that point in time, you are the king of the world. And I'm being serious. There's something really beautiful about it. You know,
absolutely.
They're like friendly with Eminem because you know, and Kid Rock, and they say, look, they're white rappers, and they came from Detroit like us. But most people don't look at Kid Rock like dating supermodels and think, oh, I'm just like him. Most people don't hear Eminem's talent and go, oh, I'm just like him.
Yeah. He's not relatable.
We are just like you. We have man boobs, and we, you know, like, we drink Faygo and all that kind of stuff. So.
And do they, at the end of the night, do they strip the makeup off and then just go back to their house in the suburbs with their pretty wife and their two kids and just their regular suburban neighborhoods?
No, it's not like Slayer at all. Like, they take the makeup off, and they go into their life of child support battle. Violent J told a story last night, which may have been the most riveting radio I've ever heard. Because he recently got divorced. He was married for like 13 years. Mm-hmm. And he recently got divorced. And he started dating again. And he said, the first date I go on, I fall in love with this girl. I take her back to a hotel room because she says, we can't go to my apartment. It's just not okay right now. So they go to a hotel room. And he gets to the point where he can see her backside for the first time. Mm-hmm. And she has a full, from her butt bone to her shoulders, complete like face portrait of a guy with a swastika tattoo and a knife on his forehead. So he's a little freaked out by that.
A little?
Asked her about it. And she says, yeah, that's my husband.
That's why they couldn't go to her
house. He's incarcerated for life for murder.
Oh.
So they go back to – finally, after dating a little more, they go back to his apartment. She has a whole mural. Like her walls are covered with pictures of that guy.
Oh, dear.
And ICP.
Oh, like, wow.
And so now he's getting a little more freaked out.
Oh,
so
no.
He goes back to Detroit. She lives in Florida. He flew out to Florida to date this girl. He goes back to Detroit. She says, I'm going to the prison to tell my husband it's over and that I'm in love with you. And he's like, okay, well, call me immediately and tell me how it goes.
Good luck with that.
She goes. She tells him. He has a medical reaction, like some type of hyperventilation, and like spitting up stuff. She's freaking out, calling for the guards. While she goes to get help, he opens up her security badge and tries to kill himself. His neck. And almost killed, like literally slices open his own neck and tries to kill himself. And so she says, I can't continue because I'm in love with you, Violent J. But my husband, who I've made a vow to, even though he's serving life in prison plus 99 years, he'll murder himself or maybe someone else if we continue dating.
So Dr. Lowe's are just like us.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
That's their life. So
they do not
take off the makeup and then go back to the suburbs and become soccer dads.
Isn't that the strangest, those guys?
Yeah.
The strangest thing.
So he's single, you're saying? He's, okay.
If you want to date Joe, Violent J, he is on the market.
Nice. Besides Insane Clown Posse, and besides Pennywise, who else stands out as one of the most memorable nights of hosting Loveline with Dr. Drew?
Michael Bolton, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What was awesome about Michael Bolton?
Well, because he is Michael Bolton. That's not like – he's a dude who just like a really gifted singer, and he has a great voice and a great like stage presence. Mm-hmm. But he came up in an era where like it was kind of okay to be that cheese ball, you know?
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
And now he's just like living that life. Like he came in with like a Bentley and a like finely tailored clothing and everything. And
but he's
like,
self-deprecating too.
Yeah. It was like 2011 or whenever he came in. He's like, you know, I'm still seeing When a Man Loves a Woman, you know, and he knows he's like kind of a joke. And he like telling us these little stories about like when he worked with Lonely Island. That wasn't the original idea of the bit. Like he came up with the idea of him being obsessive about different characters. And so he has this like real self-awareness, you know? So that was cool. And like just the fact that I'm standing with Michael Bolton talking to a girl, a teenage girl about like anal or something, you know, like,
you're like this is a weird job that I have.
What's happening? Cheech and Chong for sure. Tenacious D. Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about Loveline is the time that you got to spend with those guests.
I have to mention this one. Bree Olson.
Oh, yeah. One of Charlie Sheen's goddesses, right?
But we had her on the show, like, right at the very opening of the Tiger Blood.
Yeah.
You know, like, it wasn't even a thing yet. Like, we probably wouldn't have been able to book her if his whole rant and his maniacal stuff had gone on for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it was right at the beginning. And we're talking about her crazy life of being an adult star and, like, a nasty one at that. And off the air, Drew goes, so you're living out here in L.A.? And she said, yeah, I just moved in with someone. Drew's like, is it Charlie? She's like, yeah, I'm living with Charlie. And he goes, so how is that? How's Charlie doing? How are you guys together? And I watched a human's brain break. Like, she stopped talking. Her shoulders slumped, and she just stared at Drew with, like, this dead look behind her eyes for, like, 6 seconds.
That
doesn't sound like a lot, but that's an eternity.
When you're watching it, that's insane.
And then there was just more silence, and I go, all right, we're going back on 30 seconds, guys. Let's go. And so there was just no mention of it after that. And turns out, you know, there was that chaotic situation. But I watched a human have like a mental breakdown. Wow. That was pretty sweet.
That's weird.
You're the worst.
Well, Mike, I'm happy for you that you've got all these other opportunities that are making you so busy that you can't do everything.
And living off my wife, yes.
Living off your wife. Yep. But we are really going to miss you as the co-host of Loveline because you have been – I mean, you're no Carolla, obviously. He's the gold standard. But you have been great.
I feel like Carolla is the Michael Jordan of hosting Loveline. Like, at least I could be the –
You're Swaggy P.
I feel like
you're more LeBron.
No, I don't know about that.
I do.
No, you've been great for 6 years on Loveline, Mike.
Thank you.
K-Rock's been lucky to have you, and I'm so pleased that you got your start in radio on this show, you know, being part of the Kevin Amin show, and you'll always be part of the Kevin Amin family. So I hope you'll come back and see us again, my friend.
Of course. I'm always around, and I love you guys, and I owe it all to you, everything in my career. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be hard to go, but it's always a pleasure to be in this building and see you people. And
what do you mean by you people?
I mean, you know,
you're so
black people.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We were doing so well right up until then. Well, Mike, God damn it, get out of here. Great to see our friend Mike Cather would come by. I always, you know, people are always asking me, Ralph, maybe they ask you the same thing about all the people who have come through the show, you know, the Kimmels and the Carollas and the Hardwicks and people like that. And I always say the talented ones, they get off. They manage to leave the show.
Hey, easy there, Kirby.
Right?
Yeah.
Off the show.
It's really not our business.
The rest of us, we stay behind. It just plug along, continue to put on the Kevin DeBate show. But I'm happy for Mike. That's awesome. All right, it is at 9:45.
I think that was a shot at me.
Yeah, I
sure
didn't love
was a
it.
Shot
It wasn't
me.
A
I
shot at you.
Pretty much.
Well, it was.
I was just saying there are those of us who are maybe cut out to do morning radio, and then there are those who perhaps have other skills, and then they go off and demonstrate those other skills out in the world. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of other skills, Friday night at the Improv on Melrose.
What?
Kevin Smith and I are bringing back Hollywood Babylon. We've been on a short hiatus because, speaking of other skills, Kevin Smith, you know, he's a director. He went off and directed a sweet-ass episode of The Flash, Color Me Jealous.
But he's back. Be geeking out the whole time.
He was beside himself. He was. It's like, I wonder if they regretted it at some point. Because he was sending me pictures like him putting on the Flash's hat from Earth 2.
And like, did we
him outside Jitters, the coffee shop, posing. It's like, are you on? Are you a tourist or are you working? What are you doing? But he had a blast. He'll be back in town, and we're going to talk all about his episode. And also, we'll talk about Batman v Superman. We both saw that this week. It's going to be a fun, fun episode after a couple weeks off. Looking forward to getting back to it. So check us out Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Fun will be had.
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. No.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets. This is interesting news. Los Angelinos, and I think genius on HBO's part, it's just been announced that HBO's legendary Behind the Curtain documentary series Hard Knocks that they make each and every football season about a team and the inner workings therein will feature a little team called the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah!
Kind of genius.
I have thoughts.
All right. Good enough. We know that. Nope. Just it's good enough to know that you have thoughts.
I'd like to wait on the Rams until they get their own stadium.
I thought we said that wasn't going to happen.
That's the big reveal. I mean, when you've got Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan together in Buffalo, that's the choice you make.
But a team relocating to a new city and all the complications that that must entail, that's going to be fascinating.
I'd rather see their state-of-the-art stadium, all that that entails in a couple of years.
They'll already be playing here in Los Angeles for a few years by the time that happens. You're just going to watch a building open? That's going to be exciting?
I agree with Ralph. I think the drama of uprooting from the city where all of those players have been playing for all these years to a new community and seeing how it goes down is going to be fascinating. And the other thing you're forgetting, Allie, about the Rams is this.
Yeah. Oh, I can forget Ram it. So let's ram it to
them. Let's ram it. I mean, come on.
Ram.
What else do you need?
I take it back. I'm in.
Watch somebody ram it.
Yeah.
HBO, ram it.
Oh, such good ramming on HBO.
Ram it. Ram it.
Ramming After Dark. It's going to be their new HBO show.
While we're talking about television, a lot of people, of course, who listen to us are wannabe actors, wannabe in the acting business. Some of the people on the show are wannabe actors, wannabe in the acting business. But I always like to give casting call opportunities a shout out when I get the opportunity, because I know that people out there are looking for any door to open. Maybe they can get in to do what they really love. How would you like to work with Dick Wolf? Right?
Yes.
One of the most prolific creator-producers of episodic television in its history. He is a legend. And now he's got all these shows. He's got the Chicago PD and Chicago Justice and Chicago Fire and Chicago Med and Chicago Parking Authority, Chicago Sewers. He's got Chicago Street Sweepers. All the Chicago shows are his. And they're having an open casting call, and I thought we'd bring in our Chicago correspondent, Johnny Chicago, to come on in. Hey there, Johnny, how are you?
How are you guys doing there? How's everything going?
Everything's going good. Do you have any more information about this open casting call for all these Chicago shows that Dick Wolf's doing?
I got it right here. For Chicago Fire, if you're a mother with young children, and the children's got to be 3 to 4 years old.
How old again?
3 to 4 years old.
Okay.
And who are able to work on Friday, April 1st, in the great city of Chicago. Uh-huh. And for Chicago Med, we're looking for blonde women. Women.
Okay, hey, Allie.
Right up your alley there. No pun intended right there.
Wow, Johnny, Chicago.
Looking for the blonde women between the ages of 40 and 50.
How dare you?
Got to be 140 to 160 pounds and about 5'5 to 5'7.
Oh, I'm out!
A little too short.
And you better get down there today because they're filming today, Wednesday,
in
March 23rd. In Chicago.
So what the hell is
get there.
This announcement then?
Hey, it's last
Johnny
minute.
Chicago?
You got to be last minute, you know?
But why did you tell me this is something our listeners could use? Nobody's going to go to Chicago today.
For today.
The film, it's already over, probably.
Today is Chicago Med, and then April 1st is going to be Chicago Fire.
Okay.
So if they're in the, area of Chicago today and you want to be on Chicago Med,
okay. Well, it is possible, Ralph, that maybe we have some listeners streaming in the Windy
City.
Yeah,
maybe.
Or listening to the podcast later. So it might help them.
Johnny Chicago led me to believe that this information would be more useful than it actually is for our audience.
It could come in handy, you know.
Okay,
right.
Johnny Chicago.
Thank you, Johnny Chicago. We appreciate you.
You guys are the best.
Go Bears.
You're the best. He is.
It's my new favorite segment.
With or without an accent, he's an idiot. That much we know for sure.
I hope you find some reason every day for Johnny Chicago to stop by.
The kids love him. That's for sure. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Starting off with my boy, Ben H. Ben Higgins. He was the bachelor. Sadly, his reign is over. But
he found love, though, right?
He did find love. He found the love on a two-way street.
Hey, Ralph, I have a serious question.
But he lost it.
Nope. Why?
You want to know where he lost it?
Where did he lose it?
A lonely highway.
See? Yeah. I have a question you may or may not know the answer to.
Oh, please. By all means.
It's my favorite setup.
Ask away.
Haven't there been, including one that was announced yesterday, about a dozen former bachelor and or bachelorette contestants who have died tragically and young?
I don't believe it's a dozen.
I think it's maybe 25.
But no, I don't think it's 25.
About three.
Yeah, I think it's two or three.
My question is, what's going on?
Some people who have been on The Bachelor, Bachelorette are passing away.
Right, but they shouldn't be at their age.
But
I'm
some, I understand, are still alive.
Yes, many many more of them actually are still living than the ones that have passed.
Let me put it this way. I think there's a higher percentage of people who have died of the pool of people who have been on those shows than there is in the general population. I think there's something about their...
What are you saying?
I'm saying they're risk takers or they're somehow damaged or the Bachelor, Bachelorette environment is so toxic that it leads them to make bad decisions. Something is happening that is killing the young people of America who have appeared on that show.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
You really should lay off the codeine because it's not a good look on you.
So you have no theory, it sounds like. You're just willing to let it go.
It's just coincidence.
So more people can die and you're fine. You're not interested in even exploring why it's happening.
The Bachelor Ben Higgins is 28 today. Kerry Russell turns 40. Damon Albarn, Blur and Gorillaz singer, is 48. And The Cars, one of the legendary classic rock bands, the singer, guitarist, producer for that band. I think they're still a thing. I think they're still operational, that band. Rick Ocasek is his name. Married to the lovely model Polina Poroskova for many years.
I think they're still operational?
I think they're still operational. I think they're still a concern. I think they're still recording and performing, to the best of my knowledge. They're still operational.
Like a car.
Exactly.
That's Ali's point.
Right. You idiot.
They're still running on all cylinders.
Right.
That's what I meant to say. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Yeah, you are. Let me tell you about tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean show. I think it's going to be a good one. Thursday means we talk to our good friend Jim Rome. Also, speaking of sports, let's try to get RJ Bell on so he can defend his bracket from last week ahead of the NCAA college basketball tournament. Because now it's Sweet 16 time. We'll see what he's got to say about that. Thursday means we catch up with Dr. Drew, who, by the way, I heard he and his wife, Susan, are stuck in Africa.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get us to send them money because their credit cards have been stolen.
Yeah, and they lost their passport and everything. So yeah. I sent him a bunch of money.
Yeah, I did too. So I want to make sure he's back in America.
Nice.
I bet he's good for it. He's Dr. Drew.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Also, a fascinating story that is going to give you all the feels. We'll introduce you to a young comedian named Quincy Jones who has less than a year to live. And he is taking advantage of the time he has left to fulfill a lifelong dream of doing a stand-up comedy special. Am I right about this, Ali? It's going to be aired on HBO,
right? HBO. HBO comes through with so
much. They really do. I mean, it's so heartwarming, and I really hope he doesn't suck because that's not going to be a happy ending to the story at all.
Can you maybe not be part of the interview?
We'll talk to Quincy Jones. That's tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock.